Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear, and when I do, it's usually something unusual.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy in Big Toe.
Paul Perillo.
You might have noticed that I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do.
No.
Yeah, I do. Anyway, I went to this doctor. Well, he told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
And Andy.
Are you, homosexual?
You mean like flaming, or...
Andy Hart.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Yeah, would they send us someplace special?
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women. Because, that's why my guys in my car club call me the cruiser.
You should call them the
dork. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Okay, I know you're anxious to jump right in and start speaking English. So, how many of you would say you speak English fairly well, but with some difficulty? Yes, you speak some English.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. We're just engrossed in a conversation. I know this is football, but we're trying to come up with our top nine baseball players at each position. Or top player at each position. So we're coming up with our dream team.
The ninth best closer is.
So anyway, hey, this is a big day on PFW in Progress because it's the debut of Toyota Tacoma at the controls. Doc is off. You said you had a new open. Just a new bit. Okay, so we're going to have a new bit.
Just the bit.
But Toyota's at the control. Look at that. He's got applause.
Yeah.
I see a Lou Gehrig moment here.
You've already used that line on Twitter.
I think that Doc is going to be Wally Pipp.
He tweeted about this.
I did.
Yeah,
we can certainly
hope Two so. Gender came in and told me.
He had a slow morning because he had like four tweets. And
can we expect drop-ins?
Video games are making you smart. My son's a genius or something.
No, somebody else said that.
Oh, that
and
was
then
a
I
retweet.
Said ditto. I said ditto.
So that doesn't mean right tackle? That means retweet?
Right. That means retweet. Anyway, so...
all these references to Nick Cash.
So anything you see or anything you hear today on the show is courtesy of Tacoma.
Are we sure people are hearing it right now?
I believe they are, right?
There's a chance.
Are we on the air?
No guarantees.
Okay.
And we got lunch, too.
Well, I know no one's hearing it because...
He took care of everything.
He did lunch and
holiday.
He got us the lunch. He's got the board ready. The whole thing. Big day because the Patriots announced the practice times for the first 7 days. Starting July 30th, that's when practice opens to the public. And they'll have double sessions for 7 days.
Yeah.
July 30th through August 5th.
There'll be no easing their way into camp.
Right.
For this team.
I think it's calculated.
Morning
Fred.
Practice starts at 9:30. And evening practice, afternoon practice starts at 3:45, I believe.
Which is a little bit of a change
yeah.
from the recent
a good
past.
Change.
The last 3 or 4 years, their late practices has been basically an evening practice. Now it's late afternoon, 3:45 to 5:30.
Right.
So that is a change for those of you who, you know, guys like Mike and Sharon who go to all the training camp practices. There's
it's also a change
bit
to
of
have
an adjustment.
This many doubles in a row.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's
yeah.
been on the 2-1, 2-1 alternate back and forth schedule.
I have a feeling that will...
I do too. I
we'll
think
change,
this is a
so, as we get
motivational tool.
Yeah.
I think this is an orchestrated maneuver by the head coach to emphasize the work that's going to take place this August.
I heard it was
nothing
a request
easy.
From Tom Brady saying, "Coach, we need as many practices as we can get."
I'm going to give you a different opinion, and it's something I noticed last year. I think that some of these days that they have double sessions aren't really going to be double sessions for Tom Brady and the like. It's going to be those walkthroughs that we used to not get access to, that now every time they go on the field in any kind of uniform, we have to have access because the PFWA whined and complained.
I see. I think that's true, but I'm talking about this.
That's what I think.
Announcing today that what the schedule is, because have we ever done that before? 7 days
so
schedule
early.
Announcement?
I don't know if we've done it this early. I don't think we have.
This was a message to every player, every Bill wants this talked about, write a column. Oh, looks like the Patriots are going to be hard at work starting early. I think this is an orchestrated move by the greatest motivator
good
in the history of sports.
Psychological move, yeah. I agree with that.
And this is earlier.
Randy
the
Moss's
announcing
locker
this is earlier
was next
to
Tom Brady's, and everybody made sure everybody saw that Randy Moss's locker was next to Tom Brady's. That's what this is.
So, of course, you can keep track of these practice dates if there's any change or beyond the 7 days on Patriots.com. And also we have the hotline, which is 508-549-0001. That's the training camp hotline, 508-549-0001. Put it in your speed dial. Check it every morning if you're thinking of coming down to training camp.
I'm impressed that he just relayed that number off the top of his head. But after
I'm
8 years,
it's been the same number for 5 years.
Yeah, but so is
that 5-4-3-7-4-8-2.
And you say this one year-round 2 to 3 times a week.
Well, anyway, actually, training camp is going to be a little bit different than it has been in the past, not just because of the slight time change, but because Patriot Place is open, fully open this summer. So it'll be cool. Yeah. I mean, it's a whole day thing. I mean, especially if you're going to go to both practices. But even if you're just going to go to one,
in the
you
hall
come early,
you go to
stay
one,
late,
go to
hall
one
between sessions,
right?
Yeah,
go get some lunch,
catch a movie.
Go over to the hall. Right. By that time, it's time for the
burger,
the second practice. Then you have dinner afterwards.
Could hurt concession sales.
I was just thinking. I wonder if they
people are going to go to the restaurant.
Well, I'm wondering if the concessions hurt the restaurants. You know, cause
probably a little of both.
If I can buy a $4 or $5 hamburger,
I think
I'm not going to go to
but if I can go sit down and get out of the sun and just cool off and sit in a booth and have a nice relaxed meal.
Yeah, I agree. I actually I'm with both of you. I think that it's going to hurt on both sides. I think some people will just have the convenience of the concession, and other people, like Andy said, will probably say, I want to sit down. I want to get out of the sun for an hour or so. Right. I want to have a meal. And I think both sides will be affected.
Tell you where I'd go. CBS Scene for the new bar menu.
I'll tell you what place is going to be hopping. Five Guys.
See, I was trying to drive them to a Kraft.
No, I know, but
restaurant.
You know,
you can drive them away if you want
a quick burger.
That's Fred driving them away, Mr. Kraft.
You go through the line, you put it in your bag, and then you walk down to training camp with it. Mm-hmm. Eat it right there.
And then have a heart attack on the hill.
I was actually thinking of the French fries falling right through the bag by the time you get there from the grease.
It's
phenomenal.
An event.
It
phenomenal.
Should be a great summer of training camp if it ever stops raining
wait.
Here. I don't know if
he's already done more than the doc right there. One drop in.
Very good, Doc Toyota. For people who aren't from this area and listening from around the world, I mean, we were in the middle of a major thunderstorm cell this morning.
Oh yeah!
I mean, I was
instant flash flood.
I was here at 7:30, so I was watching out the windows here, and it was quite a show. Quite a show.
Power was down in the studio when I got in.
Yeah, I love watching thunderstorms.
I do too.
Yeah, I do. As long as I'm not driving 50 miles in one of them.
I almost pulled over a couple times today because it was so bad.
Yeah,
it was like blinding.
Yeah, so
couldn't even hear the radio. It was hitting the roof so hard, and it was just
it's you know, it's
goddamn ridiculous.
This month of June, it rained 28 days at some point each day. 28 days.
Yeah, so if we sound a little bit crankier than we normally do, you have to bear with us. It's been a rough summer.
Yeah,
I mean,
some
the weather
blew our vacation time on clouds and rain.
And you know what? It doesn't matter, Andy. Yours is past, and you blew it. I'm going to be
Eric's yours next. Be beautiful. One
Eric's
of you
next
gonna
week. He's going to have the
I'm
same
out next
thing.
Week. Did you know that?
No.
The Paul Perillo solo show on Tuesday.
Oh, wait a minute. You're not making me do that again. No. Come on.
Oh, my stomach hurts.
Yeah, it's from the fried dough, fatty. You ate half a fried dough.
You know what? Give Bilo a shout. He'll come in. Yeah, he'll come in.
He'll talk with anyone at any time. He's
I was
talking
actually,
in a closet right now.
I was actually thinking
it's
I'm going to have a really good week of getting my work done before I go on vacation because no one's going to be here.
Sporkle will still be there.
That's true. But Sporkle's not as much fun by yourself.
So, yeah, Paul, you're going to be by yourself?
I can't
you know
do
what?
Two shows
no.
by myself.
Well,
I can't do
no,
4 hours
back
of
Thursday,
radio.
Right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
you'll
be here
Thursday.
Thursday.
So I just
Tuesday.
Need to get – I'll get Bilo.
Get Bilo to
and get Christina.
This.
She won't be as,
Christina, maybe I'll come in.
No, no. That's why we're asking her to come in, because she won't be here. It would be less awkward for her to come into the studio.
No, the other word.
Oh.
With bum.
Unbelievable. All right.
Eric, I'm alluding to something. You're unbelievable.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. You know, there's not a lot going on.
Willie McGinnis.
I was just going to bring it up. Willie
McGinnis. Why are you yelling?
Willie McGinnis mentioned that he would be interested in coming back as a Patriot. Says he's talked to some ex-teammates.
Right.
Patriots have not talked to him in any official way.
This sounds funny to me, though. This is like the second or third time this offseason that he's
made overtures. Yes.
Yeah.
He wants to be here. Bill hasn't asked yet.
I got to tell you, it was really nice to see when he came back with Bledsoe and the guys, and they saw the hall before it was even finished.
Yeah.
He, of all the guys, was the most excited about seeing.
You know what? You're right, Fred. Yeah. All those guys were really impressed, but he was over the top.
Yeah.
And this wasn't even, it was a skeleton of a building. It was just cement. I mean, it was like the walls,
a year ago.
The walls
more than a year
the walls were open. I mean, it wasn't built.
Yeah, it was just the framework.
We walked through, and Brian actually explained like where all the exhibits were going to be and what was going to be contained and stuff, and they were really into it, all of them.
Yeah.
But McGinnis was very impressed.
Yeah, McGinnis was really psyched, and I think, you know, he wants to go down as a Patriot. That's of course where he's made his mark in the league, and one way or another he's going to retire as a Patriot, whether it's a full season or a ceremonial type retirement. He's going to end up in a Patriots uniform somehow.
How healthy is he right now? Do we know?
I don't know. I mean, last year he had a few injuries, right? He didn't really play the whole year, or did he?
I don't think he did.
For Cleveland?
I don't really know what he played last year. I have to plead ignorant on that one.
So, now, here's a question.
On that one.
Who would you rather have in a reserve role? Willie McGinnis or Roosevelt Colvin?
Willie McGinnis.
McGinnis 100 times.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Colvin was awful last year. He's done.
Well, I think it's hard to really judge him.
Mentally, he wasn't here. Rosie came here, and he was already kind of like, nonchalant.
I think that's the best point out of all of them. He certainly seems that McGinnis still wants to play.
Yeah.
Rosie had checked out. He had downshifted. He was completely mentally out when they called. And he said, sure, I'll come back and play.
Yeah.
But he was out. McGinnis has not done that yet. McGinnis still wants to play. He's training to play.
But he's Junior Seau physically. He is
that's
a freak.
That's true.
And I think Roosevelt Colvin was never half the athlete those two guys are and is now half the athlete he was. I think McGinnis, in 4 years after he does check out, could probably still get a call and step on an NFL field and not embarrass himself.
And play better than Colvin did last year. Yes, I agree. And that's not a knock on Roosevelt Colvin. I mean, Roosevelt Colvin was a good football player. Willie McGinnis was a very good football player. And Andy's absolutely right. A freak, absolute freak of an athlete.
So, well, we'll see. We don't know. The Patriots haven't said they are not interested. They just haven't talked with him yet.
Paul and I just talked about it on the podcast, the roster report. There's a chance that he comes in September, October. I mean, he said he's not looking to do that, but if Bill goes with this youth movement on the outside, but then 2-3 weeks into the season says they're just not ready, they're just not good enough. Because, I mean, let's be honest. You have a guy who's never played as a third-round pick. Then you have two undrafted guys. I mean, it's not exactly stocked cupboard full of guys who are just raring to go with all his potential.
Right.
It's a question mark. So there's a chance they give him a chance. There's a chance they give him a chance. And it doesn't work. And then you call Willie. And I think Willie would say, I'll walk right off the NFL Network stage because he'll probably be somewhere doing something and right onto the practice field.
I would compare it to 2003. The summer of 2003, they had, they had lost, who did they lose? They moved Seymour back outside. They didn't really lose anybody. They had trouble stopping the run in 2002, and they didn't really bring anybody in.
Right. They had all these guys that are flexible and can do it. And
this is what Ty Warren. They drafted Ty Warren in 2003, and they thought that maybe he could be a nose tackle. And they got halfway through the summer there and realized that wasn't going to work. And they went out and they traded for Ted Washington, shored up the running situation, the run defense, and obviously they went on to have a great year and went 14-2. I think something like that could happen again if they got into the summer and had a couple of preseason games and it just wasn't working with Pierre Woods and Sean Crable and Tully Bantakane and Vince Redd and whoever else. And Bill just looks and says, this isn't good enough. This could be a fatal flaw. We got to get someone in here.
The one thing about McGinnis, though, is he does not have a lot of speed at this point. He's lost a lot of that.
Well, but he's so rangy. He's so long.
He can still get... And, you know, Seymour on our show talked about Red being two steps and he's around the corner. I think McGinnis still has some of that. He's not going to be a backside outside linebacker and run down a running back on the other side.
No.
But to get from the edge to the quarterback, those two steps, I think
I'm not sure about that.
I think he's still okay.
You're going to be asking him to do anyway. Right.
But I'm not sure about that quickness anymore.
But I'm looking for 20, 25 snaps maximum.
Right.
Out of somebody, you know, and this would be if, you know, if Crable just can't do it, or if one of these guys gets hurt, you know, one of these guys you're relying on, to sort of take a step forward. I think Woods is going to have to be a guy on early downs, and Crable is going to be the other guy,
right?
But who knows what Bill thinks? Bill might look at it totally differently. I just feel like they are paper thin at that spot. So if you lose somebody, you know, if you lost to Dalis Thomas. You know, let's say that, you know, it's not out of the realm.
That's huge.
I mean, you think, but think about it, like, the last couple of training camps, we've almost always had somebody goes down with a major injury. You know, like Tank Williams, first preseason game, rips up his knee, he's done.
That was
a couple years ago. Remember Chad Scott? Remember Chad Scott in practice, like, 2 years ago? Just a routine play, jumps up, comes down, and ripped up his knee. Well, those are unfortunate injuries, but the Patriots have been fortunate in a way that they've happened to guys like that.
If
it happens to Gerard Mayo or a Dalis Thomas or, God forbid, Tom Brady, then what do you do? And right now I think you're a little bit thin if something really, really bad were to happen. You know, to one of those guys. No, I mean, you're thin now. If something bad happened to a Mayo or a Thomas,
you're done.
You have to go out and get somebody. You cannot play with what you have if you lose one of those guys.
Well, last year with the Browns, McGinnis played in 14 games and started 14 games, ended up with 43 tackles. But that was actually better than the year before when he only played in 13 games and started 11. So he actually played in more games in 08 than he did in
07. So he's been reasonably durable even late in his career here. I know he didn't make a big impact in Cleveland. He didn't do
he had one sack last year.
Yeah, he didn't do what they were looking for him to do. I know that.
Yep. So, we'll see. What else, guys?
So that was Toyota providing stats for us during the show.
Look
so
at
real time.
Hey, Doc, don't go back. Brian Sanchez sent those in, so I can't take full credit.
Well, you still provided them. You
Doc
printed, you printed them out.
You were paying
and you brought them in.
The
so that's 18 minutes in. We had a nice, witty little drop in and informative stats provided by Toyota. So that's two.
Doing a fine
Doc's
job.
Listening. He's going to.
Zero.
Ken in Florida says, what kind of question is that, Fred? Who would you rather have, Willie or Rosie? Are you kidding me? How is that even a question? That's like asking, would you rather have an ice cream sundae or cancer of the eyes? Wow, I didn't think it was that much of a...
Rosie, I hope you're not listening.
Yeah, especially because Rosie's like a favorite of BFW. I would really be upset if he thought we were destroying him like that. Cancer of the eyes.
No, I mean,
that'd be a first, wouldn't
Willie's going to be 38 or he's 37 now. You know, so he's up there.
He's a young 37.
Yeah. He's up there.
Is he?
I don't know. I just go back to the freak athlete, natural.
Maybe we bring back Chris Slade.
No, I don't think we do that.
He hasn't played since like 01.
I'd bring back Tippett before Slade.
Last time I saw Chris Slade was at the Good Food Store. That's legitimate. Serious.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com.
Freddie, good. I happened to stumble upon Real Sports last night on HBO.
Yeah.
Which I rarely watch, but is a good show
it's
when
a
you
good
do
show.
Watch it.
Yeah.
Bryant Gumbel did his commentary or whatever when he was ending.
Yeah.
And
pompous.
Yeah. Oh, very. Yeah. Makes Eric Scalavino look humble as they come.
Yes.
But no, his talk was about Goodell being doing a good job of the leadership, and he was talking about the legal system has failed us with Stallworth and Plaxico Burress, but Goodell doesn't take the crap. He's going above and beyond. He's a leader, unlike his predecessor, Paul Tagliabue, who could not have led a two-man parade.
Wow.
I mean, the fight is over. The guy's retired, gone. Why are you still continuing this feud you have with him? I mean, he hates him.
That's unbelievable.
There's got to be something personal there.
You know, I wasn't a huge fan of Tagliabue, but seriously, what did he ever do to elicit that kind of hate?
That's personal. That is something behind the scenes personal.
You know, do you think do you think Tagliabue ever ends up in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably.
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 I don't think he should or necessarily is a lock.
I'm not a big fan of that. I think to be in that kind of a role, like a contributing kind of role, I think you have to be amazingly extraordinary to get in the Hall of Fame. I mean, innovate. Like Pete Rozelle.
Rozelle
completely
was.
Changed the landscape of sport.
Yeah.
With some of the things that he did. Now, maybe it's just the story that I've been told. Maybe people, you know, that are a lot of, you know, the Lamar Hunts and all those people that worked with him at the time, maybe they would tell you it wasn't really Rozelle. But I know he was given credit for a lot of that stuff. That, to me, is Hall of Fame worthy. Not they didn't have any work stoppages on his watch. Yeah, because, you know, you were working in concert with the guy that was heading the union.
Well, that's good work by him then, to get that guy in his pocket.
But it was nothing special that he did, is my point.
He also laid the foundation for a potential work stoppage. They rushed that last CBA in, I mean, the extension in, and now they realize it's a mistake and they're getting out of it. And
I don't know if that's more the owner's fault than it is his. I don't know.
But it happened under his watch.
Yeah, I think Tagliabue did a...
If you're going to give him credit the other way, you have to give him blame.
And all the talk was he wanted to get it done before he left.
So that he could and, you know, cement his legacy.
Or not leave the next guy in, you know, a terrible shape.
He left the next guy in a little bit of a rough spot.
I think Tagliabue should probably get into the Hall of Fame.
Well, he's going to. Because
he will,
it seems like that's one of those things that the guys in the know talk about.
I mean, he oversaw just unbelievable growth in not just money, but popularity
it's
of
like,
the sport.
It's like, I'll give you the example, Fred. Baseball right now, a lot of people would say, has never been worse. You know,
I disagree with that.
Steroid scandal and all the stuff that's been destroying baseball, and it seems like every innovation they make is the wrong move, and yet it's the most prosperous period that baseball's ever had under the watch of Bud Selig, who most any casual baseball fan would tell you is completely and utterly incompetent. But yet, it's the most prosperous period that baseball has ever seen.
Right.
Should we give him credit for that? I wouldn't.
No.
I think he just happens to be there and along for the ride. Despite his ineptitude, baseball survives because the game is great. I think the NFL was great. So whether it was Paul Tagliabue or Fred Kirsch running the show, I don't think it would have mattered one bit.
And the time period. That
what I didn't understand about...
Everything blew up in the time period. It's like giving somebody who owned a house credit for being a real estate genius because they just sat there and the value of their house went up and up and up and up.
I mean, right or wrong...
It's just happening.
I think that Roger Goodell has already done things different and outside the box. Now, maybe he's taking it too far with this whole, you know, hammer and get tough policy, but he's doing things that Tagliabue never did. Did you see some of those quotes from Chris Carter yesterday? Chris Carter says that he doesn't even know if he and Michael Irvin could have played in the league under Goodell.
Mm. Well,
so doesn't that tell you that there maybe should have been some sort of effort on Tagliabue's part to at least do something?
But you got to put it in context, though. Back even when Tagliabue was the commissioner, not just the internet, but blogging and tweeting and Facebook wasn't really around back then. So, you know, these people who are reporting on guys that are, you know, screwing up didn't have the forum. You know, if you're, no matter who you are as a commissioner today, you're going to find out about a lot more stuff than you did even 15 years ago.
But is that the stuff that people are getting in trouble for?
Right now, you mean?
Yeah. Well, is that why Dante Stallworth got suspended?
No, that's different.
Is that why Michael Vick was put in prison?
That's a good point.
But in your point that you said, that's what they're going in. It's NFL Network guys like. But really, I mean, in this day and age, everything is under the microscope and with cell phone pictures. I wanted to throw up. That's not what guys are getting suspended for.
Right.
Guys aren't getting suspended because they're getting compromising photos taken of them at some college frat house.
Yeah, Matt Lineff didn't get suspended.
Yes.
Well, a lot of the evidence is coming by way of that, you know, the corroborating evidence.
Maybe, but like Paul said, that, you know, like Matt Leinart got caught with a cell phone picture or whatever.
Nothing happened to him. It was just embarrassing.
All the guys have been suspended.
Bad press, but
they got caught not because of a cell phone picture, because cops were involved, because it was a legal matter.
Right. Exactly.
There was gunshots fired or
Matt Jones and the cocaine.
You could make an argument that some of these legal things have become bigger because of the blogosphere and the volume of people writing about it and commenting on it. But the fact of the matter is they're happening anyway, and people find out. I mean, we knew Leonard Little got, DUI.
Right.
We didn't need to have blogs writing about it.
Yep.
The fact of the matter is Dante Stallworth is getting punished for it, and Leonard Little didn't.
The thing I didn't understand about Tagliabue was he was up for Hall of Fame consideration a year ago, I think.
Right.
Yeah. He wasn't 5 years removed from the league.
You don't have to for them.
I know why. I don't understand why.
Just the rules.
Are they afraid like that players might come back, so they have to wait at least 5 years? But why is that different for a contributor?
Maybe it's the opposite. You know, you need to have that cooling off period for a player.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't want to have the cooling off period for a contributor, or you'll forget about them. I don't know.
Maybe
that would seem to not be a good theory.
Yeah,
because if they're great, they're great. We still say Pete Rozelle all the time,
right?
Yeah,
I didn't forget.
I think, maybe a one-year period for everybody would be better than
for everybody.
Yeah, because what's the difference? Like, they have a five-year period, and then Joe Gibbs came back and coached. You know, is he the only guy ever to coach as a Hall of Famer? Or was anybody else ever do that?
I don't know. But it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter to me.
Once you're a Hall of Famer, you can't lose it.
Right.
Well,
it doesn't bother me.
You think Brett Favre's losing it, but... I mean, even if it's a player who's
not a Hall of Famer yet.
No, but my point is, had he retired and been put in the Hall of Fame and then come back, who cares? He was a Hall of Famer based on what he did for the first 12 or 15 years.
I guess that's my point. No matter what happens, he's not going to not be a Hall of Famer.
I don't know about that.
What?
Well, so you think if he could throw no touchdowns and 44 interceptions this year and he won't make the Hall of Fame?
No, I think in that case he would, but I think that
Okay, 55
touchdowns. No, but you vote on a guy for the totality of his career.
Right.
I mean, if O.J. Simpson had committed those murders in the last year of his career, he wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Not because of what he did in the field.
No, but because of other things. You know, and it happened during his career. You know, so you have that.
So you're afraid that mitigating circumstances could come into play.
Yeah, I mean, there's a less chance of a guy coming back to play after 5 years out than there is after 1 year.
I know that that's why they have the rule. We're just saying, I don't care if a guy comes
to add to the Fred Kirsch.
I don't care if a guy comes back to play and he's in the Hall of Fame. It wouldn't bother me. Clearly, it bothers sports because they all have that 5 year rule.
Yeah, but then now those years that he comes back and plays goes into the totality of his career, and they were outside of the voting.
It might diminish.
Well, it might have diminished, but now it can't.
See, the way I'm with Andy,
he's already in.
I'm with Andy. If you're in because of your 10 years, you're not going to lose anything in the next two if you come back and play down the road. I don't see that as being a possibility.
And you know what? You won't. No one's going to discuss that either way. They'll say he dominated for 10 years and then he lost it. He fell off the map. Whatever. But that doesn't hurt you when you're a Hall of Fame talent. You can't take. People will criticize me for. I don't think. OJ's off. I don't think off the field issues should play into it.
I am of the belief that magnitude, it's got to.
You
don't want a guy who's a murderer
care.
Like that.
I think everybody knows the story
either
way, and I just
come on.
It doesn't bother me.
You know, it's one thing to be a racist bastard like Ty Cobb.
There's children in the studio. Just so you know,
it's quite another.
Really,
Toyota? How old are you?
The Maury clan. Is in the studio, and you're starting to go off the rails a little bit.
All right.
Wanted to reel you in a little bit before you really...
You picked a beautiful day to bring the clan in today.
It's a rainy day. We've got a day.
Unbelievable.
That's right.
We are promoting the hall because during training camp, all those double sessions, that break in the middle is perfect time to see the hall.
Now, Alex has been on the radio before, but have Ella and Sam? I don't know.
Have you guys ever been on the radio?
No. You want to say something?
All right. Have you thought about your message to the fans that you want to deliver? Because this is your time.
So you guys know, no one can hear them right now.
Yeah, that's okay. They're not really saying anything.
So you
they're
know, on Maddie in the morning, I can rarely hear the guy in the background that talks on that show. Dave or
Jim.
Jim.
No,
yeah, no, no. Just want to say anything, Brian.
Brian, don't be an abusive parent.
Brian,
what
no
are you
means
doing?
No, okay? Stop it. Overbearing.
A-Rod, how's baseball? Good.
Good.
They don't have a lot to say today.
Whose kids are these?
All right. Good seeing you.
We just wanted to say hi.
All right. Hey, on the phone right
good
now.
Good seeing you guys.
Speaking of training camp, is training camp's number one attendee, Mike and Sharon. Mike, how you doing?
I would have to say that honor goes to Mrs. B, not me, especially since it's 5 minutes down the road for me.
I don't know, Mike.
No, I'm going to give it to Mike and Sharon, my friend.
I think it's a tie. I've never seen either of them not at a practice.
Plus, Mrs. B doesn't call our show, so.
Yeah, well, that's why Mike gets the nod. Now, Mrs. B is always very nice and cordial to us, and she talks to us every day at practice, but you come on the show and you participate. So you get the edge.
I'm actually kind of surprised with the training camp schedule coming out so early. Usually we're like 2 weeks away, and Fred's like, can we tell them about what the schedule is? Can we tell them about what the schedule is? And then
Fred usually just says it anyway without without getting the permission.
Yeah, and then Stacy yells at him later.
Right. Yes. So what do you make of it, Mike? Do you think it's – what's the reasoning?
Well, you know, I'm actually in some ways I'm, you know, they did this a few years ago where it was like 3:30 to 5:30 for the second session, and I think now with, you know, Patriot Place being open and all that stuff, it sort of makes more sense from a fan's perspective. From a player's perspective, I think we're going to see a lot of, you know, maybe pads in the morning and shorts and T-shirts in the afternoon, because mm-hmm. there's no way they're doing 7 days in a row of...
That's what right. they used to do in the old days.
They used to do a lot of things in the old days.
Yeah, they used to do it in the old days, but they haven't
done it
in a long
time. Listen to those football drills that they used to do in the old days that you'd lose your license right. if you did today.
You listen to the Gino thing.
They'd show up in June, ring. And they'd go all the way to August.
Yeah.
Going back to the 40s with Paul.
Right.
Yeah.
Good Toyota.
My other thing is my only, you guys were talking about the difference between Goodell and Tagliabue, and I think Tagliabue sort of kept the peace better with the players' union than Goodell has, and also Tagliabue didn't majorly screw up a thing like Spygate that Goodell, I really blame him for part of Spygate, so... even though we shouldn't really mention that.
Yeah, I don't think he handled that all that well.
I don't think he did either.
I'm not sure Goodell dealt with it.
No, I think
Tagliabue dealt with it.
He never had to.
He never had to.
Right.
Yeah. As far as the dealing with the players' union, we'll see. He hasn't.
Right. Yeah, we don't know yet.
He hasn't done that yet.
Well, part of it's because, you know, the new head was just installed, so.
Right. It's to be determined.
We'll find out. Now,
they're saying the right things so far.
If they end up... Mike, if they end up having a work stoppage or a lockout or something like that, I would say that's a
knock against.
An X in the negative column for Goodell. I mean, but Tagliabue was able to find a way to get through. No, I'm saying if they have these negotiations and they can't find some sort of
peace. What I'm
saying
is he's not negotiating with the same guy, so it's kind of a different playing field.
No, but still, you have to deal with the contract.
Everybody, you know, I talked about Gumbel earlier. I mean, he doesn't have the leash attached to...
there's no question there was something that was not
was
right about that
something
situation.
Between Gene Upshaw and...
Right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a totally different ballgame, because maybe he would have wiped the floor with Gene Upshaw and had another 20 years of just owners and NFL did whatever they want to the players.
Yeah, I'm not comparing Goodell to Tagliabue. I'm saying that would be one of the negative, if you're looking at his ledger, I would say his discipline policy is on the positive side.
Mm-hmm.
If he... is unable to strike some labor accord here, that would be on the negative side. I'm not comparing it necessarily to Tagliabue.
Yeah. All right, guys. Have a good July 4th.
You too,
all
Mike.
Right, you too, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
All right, Mike and Sharon. let's see. I wanted to read this one. Zach in Florida says, do you guys hate Roger Clemens? I've talked to a lot of people who hate the guys. Oh, he means Roger Goodell. I've talked to a lot of people who hate the guy and say he's ruining football. I don't see it.
I don't think he's ruining
football. I don't hate Roger Goodell.
No.
I'm not as high on him as maybe I was.
I don't hate him.
I hate things he's done.
Yeah, there's some things I don't agree with that he's done.
But he's done things.
The only thing I don't agree with so far, I think he's a little quick to talk about things like games in London and I know what he's doing. He likes to throw it out there to just see what opinion would be.
Yep.
But the whole destroying of the tapes really put the Patriots in a bad position.
Well, that really falls under that whole.
He didn't handle Spygrella.
That really got a lot of, you know, people.
Plus, every time he talked,
looking for the truth up in arms.
Right.
You know, what's the cover up here? And the explanation for that really wasn't that great. I'm sure there's stuff we don't know about, but it probably could have been handled better. Other than that, I think he's doing a great job.
Yeah, for the most part, I think you have to say that he has been a success so far.
Yep.
On balance, I mean,
the biggest thing would be the player conduct and trying to rein in
players
who are out of control.
I'm all for that.
Not having the ghetto culture that took over the NBA for a while. Mm-hmm. They struggled with it when Allen
Iverson.
And they've
done a really good job with that, too. David Stern has.
Well, I think they've all realized you have to. Mm-hmm.
It all fell
in line.
A lot of people.
Baseball, it was steroids. For the NFL and the NBA, it was superstar players from bad neighborhoods who brought their entourages with them and got involved with guns and drugs. And I mean, there was a lot going on in the cultures of the NHL is kind of separate. But these three leagues, their cultures were kind of run amok with these guys that were high paid, immature punks, basically, on a lot of levels.
Sheila in Clearwater. I have two things to talk about. First, last Tuesday, there was talk about the movie Stuck on You that had Tom Brady and Lawyer Malloy. Well, just FYI, if you have the Warner Brothers DVD on the 03 Super Bowl season, I believe they show the clip in the beginning because that is when they release Malloy. Most people would not recognize Brady because his role was as an inbred hillbilly with his face pierced like Swiss cheese. It's just a quick flash of them laughing at a computer screen.
I never saw the movie.
I did see the movie. I just don't really remember that scene.
I think Lawyer had taped up glasses.
The second thing.
It is a bad movie.
Oh, yeah.
The second thing Sheila wants to talk about works in great with the discussion that you had at the beginning of the show. Here's the game. If you could bring back any 10 Patriots players, all things being equal, from either other team or retirement, who would they be? Now, to make it easier, their skill level is at the level of the time they played for the Patriots. So to make that clearer, if you say Tippett, his level of play would be the year he retired. Huh?
That makes sense. Curtis Martin.
Okay.
Because he was
Tippett.
Right about his year.
Definitely Tippett.
Well, Tippett.
Even the year he retired,
yeah,
I think.
But
I
mean, you're not getting 34 and a half sacks over 2 years.
No,
span.
But
you're getting the end.
He retired a little early,
right.
And he retired basically because of Parcells.
Right. Kevin Turner.
Oh.
What a clown.
How about Irving Fryer?
I don't understand the rules. What are we doing here?
Whatever their last season as a Patriot was, that's what you're bringing back.
Well, then Irving Fryer would be a good one.
How about David Givens?
Deion Branch?
I think both those receivers were very good when they finished up their career as Patriots.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming you get to erase David Givens' physical problems.
How about
problems
Jim Plunkett?
Thereafter.
Well, you got to take Brady, but...
No, I wouldn't take Jim Plunkett anyway.
I'll keep Brady, thanks.
Mike Haynes.
Continue to try to run Brady out of town.
Mike Haynes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Good one, Eric.
Got to take Haynes.
Good.
How about Dave Wallaba?
What?
Why do you want him over Dan
Copen? What the hell are you talking about?
Fine.
He's from a fine university.
That's 3-1 now.
All right. We'll think about this one.
10?
Speaking of movies,
Curtis Martin being high on that list. I think the receivers are high on the list.
I think Curtis Martin's number one.
I think they need another receiver. I think Mike Haynes would be excellent because that would be great to have a shutdown cornerback.
Mike Haynes would be up there.
How about Marv Cook or Ben Coates?
Nah. But Ben Coates in the last year he was a Patriot.
He wasn't any better than what you have now.
I'll tell you that.
He had more pass interference calls than he had receptions.
It's a good game, though. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The tough part is figuring out what they were doing their last year as a Patriot.
Yeah.
You know, like Troy Brown, you know, by the time he was done, he was
the
done.
Ball
you know,
bouncing
that was
off
it.
His face mask. That's what I
like
remember.
Troy, so I'd probably still
his
take
last
him,
thing, but
given the lack of depth at receiver.
Vinatieri.
Take the kicker you have now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, that's a
Rich Camarillo.
I have one. I have a good one. Lonnie Paxton.
Baby.
I haven't even seen the new guys, but I want Lonnie Paxton back. I liked what he did in his last year as a Patriot.
Okay.
Asante Samuel.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Asante Samuel's a bit. I like these modern Haynes. Ones.
Samuel and Haynes at the corner.
I would even take Ty Law.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would, too.
Over Samuel?
No, I would take Samuel. Or Haynes? I don't know about when did Haynes leave?
81, 82.
Yeah, he had some of his best years after he left.
Oh, he was
okay.
Great.
Law was after 82.
He became a Hall of Famer.
Law will come off the bench as my nickelback. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Fred, I saw that she brought up movies. I saw Hangover the other night.
Hangover.
Yeah, you saw me the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Great.
You told me yesterday.
Okay,
I got to tell you. Just telling the audience.
thought you wanted to open up a little discussion about that, but never mind. Read an email.
Well, we talked about it yesterday.
Okay, listen. Fine. There's an hour and 20 minutes left. You're not going to just check out the rest of the show now, are you?
No, I'm just.
Maybe we all will to let you practice for Tuesday.
No. Listen.
Go ahead, Paul.
We got to give Toyota some practice and go into a break. We'll be right back.
One passion, one cup. One chance to see it. The 2009 CONCACAF Gold Cup. Watch three top-class matches for the price of one. Saturday, July 11th, 4 p.m. at Gillette Stadium. Revolution versus Kansas City Wizards. United States versus Haiti and Honduras versus Grenada. Call 1-877-GET-REVS or go to goldcup.org. That's 1-877-GET-REVS or goldcup.org. The 2009 CONCACAF Gold Cup. Don't miss it.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
In a summer filled with concerts, one band will light the sky like no other. For the first time ever outdoors in New England, Gillette Stadium proudly welcomes AC/DC. Live in concert, July 28th. AC/DC. July 28th, Gillette Stadium. Tickets are on sale now for AC/DC at Ticketmaster.com, the Gillette Stadium box office, or 1-800-745-3000. The one concert you cannot miss. AC/DC at Gillette Stadium. Presented by Live Nation.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Where does that name come from? Is that a family name or Basil the Third? Oh, you know Basil Rathbone, right? That's right. Who was he?
Right. Basil was also a character in Austin
Powers.
That's
another great moment right there, by the way.
He wrote Sherlock Holmes, right. The great Basil Rathbone. He played it. I knew Basil Rathbone had something to do with something.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
Is it Basil or is it Basil? Because you say it Basil, which is what I would
say.
The
British pronouncement.
The pompous one said Basil over here.
Oh, the British pronouncement.
Well,
you say tomato too?
No. The gentleman who came in to our show introduced himself as Basil.
Yeah,
Basil.
I have heard that pronounced Basil as well, but he said Basil. That's how he introduced himself to us.
Basil.
And it just reminds me of the Austin Powers character named Basil.
There's a hockey player named Basil McRae.
Is that right?
Yeah, long time ago.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Strippers wants to know, is Eric still going to kick this summer, or is that called off? Eric called it off. He backed out.
I didn't call it off. Gostkowski failed to man up.
Listen to me.
No, listen to me.
If you want it to happen, it can still happen. You backed out.
I didn't back out. Gostkowski never responded, ever. Not once.
It doesn't mean he's still... If we pressed it, he'll do it.
We pressed him three times. What are we going to do? Chase him around like a little puppy dog?
Yes.
Screw him.
He's actually going to
screw
Europe.
Him.
No. We'll get...
Screw him. It's
so
over.
You're out.
No, he's out.
No, he's not out.
I gave him three chances.
If he says he's in, running
joke.
Are you in?
You have the
three
power. Chances.
You have the power to
if
do that.
If he's in,
no,
are you in?
Out.
I'm sick of him. I don't want to
so
do it.
So you're out. You've backed out.
No, he has backed out.
If
he has caused
listen
it.
To me. If he comes in, are you in?
He's not going to come in.
All right. But if he does, hypothetically speaking.
We'll see.
You're in.
We'll see.
Huh?
You're in?
We'll see.
His in?
We'll see. You're unbelievable.
I'm not unbelievable. I'm the one who did my part.
You have
he
to
didn't.
Follow through with things in life, Eric. Okay?
I followed through three times, Fred.
With everything you do.
And the kick came up short all three times.
Trying to help you.
That's why he's backing out. The follow through just isn't there anymore.
Louis from Tampa says, hello, bitches. Last couple of shows were great. The debate with the capital D was really good. Just one nugget. Andy stated that franchise quarterbacks are not replaceable and that the lone exception was Joe Montana. I came up with two other examples, but I think Andy's point still stands.
Thank you.
One, the Dallas Cowboys replaced Staubach with Danny White, three consecutive NFC championships.
Yeah, not a franchise quarterback, though.
No, he wasn't one, but he replaced one, and they still did well.
Yeah, but clearly they had a Super Bowl-caliber team and couldn't get to the Super Bowl because they didn't have a quarterback.
Two, the Cincinnati Bengals replaced Ken Anderson with Boomer Esiason, both of which led their teams to Super Bowls. Neither one of those are franchise guys, are they?
No, they're both franchise quarterbacks. That would work better than the other one, but I don't think that Esiason directly followed Anderson. I think there was like a... Turk Schonert kind of era in between there. I might be mistaken on that.
Is he a coach now?
Yeah.
I think so.
That's Kirk Ferentz.
Turk Schonert was the Bills. He might still be with the Bills, but he was offensive coordinator.
I just know I've seen that come across the
like
name.
A Jack Thompson, Turk Schonert, something. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Anderson was directly, maybe Esiason directly followed. But that would work if that was true because they were both good. They were both Pro Bowl caliber quarterbacks. That's
you think Esiason was Pro Bowl caliber?
Well, the fact that he was a multiple Pro Bowler, yes, I do.
Was he that good? I don't remember.
He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
I'm not a huge fan of lefties, as you know, left-handed quarterbacks.
I just remember him as
but he was,
a Jet.
He was pretty
he
good.
That
oh, no, that
great.
Was late
oh, no.
in his career.
Okay. Jets and the Cardinals?
When he was
years?
On Cincinnati, he was a good quarterback.
Okay.
No.
Ted Williams couldn't hit. What did he play for? The Nationals or whatever? The Senators?
He was a manager then.
Did he
only
played
for the
else?
Red Sox.
No. Well, take any other guy like that.
No, Babe Ruth. You see him with the Boston
yeah.
Braves?
That was just 1 year. Not
yeah,
much
and he couldn't do anything.
Sucked. Not much going on here. Here's a little overrated, underrated. One, a layup for Paul. Steve Young. Overrated,
overrated.
Underrated.
Oh, I thought
overrated.
It was going to be Paul.
And as
overrated.
You know, what do I fall back on with that, Andy?
Right,
you were there.
Right.
Who agrees with me? Steve Young,
Bill.
Overrated.
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick.
Two, Tom Flores.
I don't think he's either.
He's neither underrated nor
overrated. Not Andy. I would say he's a tad underrated because I don't think people would consider him a great coach. And he's
he did
who,
all right.
This guy who won two Super Bowls.
Yeah. Even with that hair. three, the 2007-16-0 season. Overrated or underrated? I think
underrated by people like Andy. Who were,
I think we underrated. I think we underrated here because we had our eyes on the big prize. But I think outside of here, it's... Probably neither.
I think it gets its due. I think people look at that as a remarkable
achievement.
But
I don't think it's overrated or underrated.
No.
Yeah. Four, Adam Sandler.
Underrated.
Underrated?
Yeah.
A little overrated, I think.
Underrated.
At this point.
I don't know. Underrated.
I would say a little
at
overrated.
At this point, what's going to happen? He's going to be in Shakespeare.
I mean, a few years ago,
years?
I think he was deservedly so, but I think some of his movies... There was no
well, all great
from Anderson to
actors.
No, it did
have
yeah.
bad movies.
Anderson
There's
was directly
of,
followed
oh, yeah,
by
great
Esiason.
Actors that have
like
really
Will
bad
Ferrell
movies.
Too. I think is a little overrated because lately his movies haven't been all that great.
I think Sandler's underrated because in some of the movies I've seen that haven't been, people think of Adam Sandler and Happy Gilmore like goofy. He's done some like pretty serious roles, and mm-hmm. from what I've seen, they've been pretty good.
He's not bad.
That
he's not bad.
What was that?
The 9/11 one.
I haven't seen that one. I want to see that one. But the one where he has the Spanish maid and he kind of falls in love with her.
I never saw that one. That's I know what you're talking about.
Is that a serious one?
Yeah.
Well, it was a comedy romance, wasn't it?
But it's not all that funny. It's more romance than comedy kind of thing.
Oh, really?
I think he's pretty good, and he produces a lot of movies.
See, I thought he was great in, you know, the when he was the...
You blew the joke. I know Saturday it's a joke, and you blew it.
No, it wasn't a joke. The one that begins with Z.
Zoloff?
You don't mess with the Zohan?
Yeah, I like that movie.
I didn't see that one.
Haven't seen it.
I thought it was cute, clever. He was good in it.
I think he's underrated.
Last one, Omega Cheese Pizzas.
Omega
Cheese Pizzas. I don't think I've ever had one.
I don't think I have either. If I go there, it's the boneless buffalo sub.
They're good.
You're large. You get two.
Mm. No, they make a good pizza over in Omega. It's the Greek pizza, and it's good. If
you're because...
If you're in the mood for Greek pizza, it's a good Greek
They're not
pizza.
In the 21st century and don't take credit cards.
Three-time Pro Bowler Boomer Esiason with Cincinnati, by the way.
Really? You think he was a Pro Bowler?
Yeah. Three-time. 86, 88, 89. And they did... that was Louis?
Yeah,
Louis. In Tampa. They did. Esiason was actually on the team with Anderson.
Wow.
So Anderson's last year, he started most of the games, but Boomer got 102 attempts. And the very next year, he kind of took over for Anderson and was the lead quarterback. By the way, his first year, 27 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, 93.2 rating. So he was, I mean, he was pretty good, Fred.
Yeah,
I think he's better than you're giving him credit for.
No, I just, like I said, I just remember 88,
97.4, 28 and 14.
Great play action quarterback size.
Is that right? Ross in London. Last show we were talking about when countries get the word "the" in front of them. And, you know, no matter what the subject is, one of our listeners will have information on it. He says, and Ross is in London, he says, the Ukraine has never been the Ukraine. It's always been Ukraine, and the mistake was introduced in a journal sometime in the past and has been copied since. Sudan is only called the Sudan when talking about the Republic of the Sudan. Neither the UK nor the US have a "the" as an official part of the name. The reason why there's a "the" is for grammatical reasons.
Boring!
So if you said, I'm from United States of America, that would be grammatically incorrect?
Correct, yeah. I'm from the United States.
But that makes sense. If there's a republic involved, maybe that, you know, the Czech Republic?
Yep.
And not just Czech Republic? I don't know. Again, these are the things that pop into my head. I don't have any.
The Philippine Islands are known as the Philippines.
Right.
Not Philippines. You don't say, I'm from Philippines. You would say, I'm from the Philippines.
Yeah.
But, you know, Cuba is an island, and you just say, I'm from Cuba.
Because it's one island. Says, Philippines is several islands, right?
You wouldn't say, I'm from Hawaiian Islands. You'd say, I'm from the Hawaiian Islands.
But that's, I mean, that I can understand, because that's strict grammar. I mean, if it's more than one, you know, you're kind of saying that you're from the group of them.
Yeah.
You know, so I think Eric's right on that one. I can see that. But there's just one Sudan, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you don't say, I'm from United Kingdom. You say, I'm from the United Kingdom.
Exactly.
I understand that.
And that's one.
But I'm wondering why, that's all.
Yeah, I don't
know.
No,
either. It's not one,
though. It's not one.
It's
several.
The United Kingdom.
Isn't that the
into one kingdom.
It's Britain, Wales,
Northern Ireland,
and Scotland. Scotland.
Five. That's five countries.
Okay. Kind of like the United States.
So, in other words, you don't say, I'm from the Spain. I'm from Spain.
But you are from the Iberian Peninsula.
And the People's Republic of China.
I think we should
back to the Republic.
Right.
You know what? It could be a translation from
I apologize.
A lot of other languages, because a lot of other languages put like la or el.
Los Estados Unidos.
Yeah, in front of, you know, nouns. So maybe it's, you know, they get used to saying it that way and then they translate it to English. I don't know.
Yeah, but you get to set your name before they translate it into their language.
Well,
we didn't take the United States of America.
We bastardized a lot of other people's words in other countries.
Oh, clearly.
You know. That's just your word of the day today, isn't it?
Bastardized?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That pitcher Bastardo who got hurt?
Bastardo. I think of Titanic every time I see that guy pitch.
Why?
Because the guy that's when they shoot the, you know, the two Italians, they're trying to get off the ship and they won't let them out. Mm-hmm. And the guy shoots them. Bastardo!
Doug in Tampa.
What are you shaking your head at?
Wasn't Craig in North Carolina on the phone?
Oh, is he still? Craig's on the phone? Craig, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right.
He just woke up from his afternoon nap.
Hey, guys, either you've been getting a whole lot more calls. I've been trying to call for about 2 weeks now, but I've been enjoying the show, listening to it live. You guys have been doing an awesome job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Why do I have a feeling a butt is coming?
But what is it?
Oh, hell
Friday
no.
Friday night in Eric's?
Well, there might be, but let's not go there. Hey, listen, you guys were talking about Adam Sandler. My opinion, he's underrated.
Well done, Craig.
Some of his movies are more stupid than funny, but overall, the guy's hilarious. And the movie you guys were talking about was Spanglish.
Yes.
And Tia Leone played his wife.
Yeah.
And that Hispanic chick was hot as hell.
You ain't lying.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
And Adam Sandler did a good job in that movie.
Yes, he did. But I got to admit, my favorite Adam Sandler movie is Waterboy. It's just hilarious.
Really?
Over Happy Gilmore? Billy Madison?
See, to me, it's Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison are at the top, and then the other stuff falls in line beneath it.
Wow.
Well, there's just certain scenes in Waterboy I think of. It just kills me, you know?
Yes, I agree.
That's the thing. And listen, I never have chimed in on the whole 19-0 debate, okay? And Andy, I'm sorry to disagree with you, but in Ask PFW, when somebody asked about that, you know, what side people are taking, does it define how whether they're a Patriots fan or just a football fan, you had made the comment that, you know, well, I don't think that argument exists. I think that the Patriots fan, I mean, the die-hard, you know, live, breathe, and die Patriots fans just were in agony over that loss.
I agree.
I know I was, and I know a lot of the callers that have said, you know, they prefer the 19-0.
They couldn't even watch football for a long time after that game.
Couldn't even eat.
Yeah, 6 months until the next game was on.
The last friggin' thing I wanted to see or hear was, you know, the Giants celebrating, especially given the opportunities playing defense on that last drive that we had to stop it. And I was just crushed. And I just picture those jerks down in Miami jumping around, dancing, you know, drinking their champagne or whatever. You know, I just, honestly, you know, and then if Brady had retired after we had won that game, we didn't know then, but, you know, Castle obviously made significant improvements. And, you know, do I think in a year or two, you know, I mean, we were in 11-5 last year, and the kid was on a hell of a learning curve. So is it unreasonable to think if he was still with the team with the improvements that we've made, you know, is it impossible for us to win the division this year? No. Could we have made it to the Super Bowl another year or two? Probably. So
we might have made it last year.
Excuse me?
We might have made it last year if they had gotten in. I mean, they were on a roll.
Well, they've never lost a game. They didn't play. They only lost five. They actually did play.
They're undefeated in games they didn't qualify to get to.
What team last year in the AFC was that much better than them at the end of the
year? Pittsburgh. I would say Pittsburgh, okay, based on what they did to us here.
Yeah, I would say that's one team.
But that weakness wasn't because of, you know, who our quarterback was. That weakness was because our defense sucked, our secondary.
See, I think
and,
a lot
you know,
of it
we were just so damn porous. I mean, in years prior, you know, we would go ahead and let them move down the field, but our red zone defense was off the hook. So we always, you know, were in the top five in scoring D. Last year, we couldn't stop anybody. Mm-hmm. So it put the impetus on the offense to outscore them, and we just didn't, you know, Castle hadn't developed to that point. Oh, and by the way, you guys were talking a little bit earlier about athletes gone wrong, you know, and it's not just the technology, you know, that you guys were talking about email and Twitter and everything else, you know, plus you've got all the different sports networks and more reporters and all that stuff going on. But it got me thinking, you know, Freddie, he's been reading about Babe Ruth, and then back in that era, those guys were really revered. So a lot of the stuff that, you know, the sports heroes did back then were never reported on.
That's true.
I mean, you think about the stuff that Babe Ruth did. If he was living today, he'd be on, you know, SportsCenter almost every night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was sort of
he'd
an
certainly
unspoken,
be in the inside track every day.
There was
and
sort
on
of
the
an
dirty.
Unspoken rule back then that, right, you know, a lot of the reporters were sort of in cahoots with the,
one of the
players
boys
on the team.
That's
they
were, right.
You know, they got info because they
yep,
quelled
not just
things
sports.
That,
you know, a lot of things.
Right.
Presidents who weren't covered mm-hmm. back then, how
it's
Bill
how
Clinton and others
done.
Were covered now.
Yeah.
There was they turned the other cheek to a lot of stuff back in the day.
Yeah, and now, you know, somebody test positive for HGH or steroids, I mean, the guys are freaking vilified. But, you know, hey, back in 1963, Sid Gilman made, you know, Dianabol a requirement. If you were a lineman or a tight end, you had to take Dianabol, period. You had to work out, period. And if you didn't take Dianabol, you got a fine. And they went from 4-10, I believe, in 1962 to winning the AFL championship in 1963.
That's right. They cheated the Patriots. They cheated the Patriots.
That's right.
Screwed.
But I just don't know what that has to do with.
So, you know, if folks are going to go ahead and, you know, keep people out of the Hall of Fame for, you know, using performance enhancers, and they ought to, you know, not grandfather the damn thing, which means that Sid Gilman and Ron Mix and other, you know, folks like that wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame anymore. So, I don't know. Like you say, we got screwed, but that was way before my time.
All right.
Really?
But anyway, guys, I just want to catch up, let you guys know you're doing an awesome job. And, guys, take it easy on Eric. He's a valued member of the team. Okay?
Thank you, Craig.
That's all going to make
Craig.
It worse.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Craig.
Craig from North Carolina.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if too many NFL players are going to be kept out of the Hall of Fame because of steroids. By the way,
I don't think so.
I mean, that's a baseball thing to me, and I think it's kind of a silly baseball thing. But I don't think you're going to see too many guys. I mean, you might get some of these real, real borderline type candidates,
Rodney Harrison,
that it could weigh against them. But I don't think that's going to be the deciding factor as to whether a guy.
No.
Well, you know, the guy was a Hall of Famer, but he cheated there, and
I'm not even sure that's going to hold up in baseball.
I don't think it should, and that's another argument for another day. But
a guy like Mark McGwire, I guess just based on his home runs,
I have really
he would be a candidate, but that's all he did.
Yeah, well, that's – see, Andy gets mad at me because we talk about this a little bit, but I feel like Mark McGwire wasn't a Hall of Fame player. He did one thing at a Hall of Fame level, and that was hit home runs. And now if you want to say, oh, the guy was – his numbers were certainly inflated by – what he may have been doing off the field, then that's a reason to me to keep him out. Now, to me, it's an individual choice, and I think this whole thing, I'm not going to vote for any of them, or I'm going to vote for all of them, I think that's silly. Every case is different, and you take the information that you have and you apply it to each individual player. To me, Mark McGwire wasn't a Hall of Fame player. I don't think he was really a preeminent baseball player. He was a preeminent home run hitter for a very short period of time while he was doing steroids.
Yep. Well, he hit home runs before. He had 49 as a rookie.
Yeah, and then he didn't have 200 when he started. You know, his career had bottomed out.
It's not like he blew up to hit home runs and had never done it before. Had gone from hitting 12 a season to hitting 70.
I agree. He would be a better case to make the Hall of Fame than say Brady Anderson or Greg Vaughn.
Right.
You know, but still, I think that he only did one thing at a Hall of Fame level, and that was greatly enhanced by. PEDs.
That's why you and Fred aren't going to put Ed Reed in the Hall of Fame. All he does is play center field.
Ed Reed's got his own wing in the Hall of Fame, if you ask me.
Doug in Tampa, what role do you think Teddy Bruschi will play in the defense this year, and is he up to the task, or will he be the weak link in the linebacking corps? Don't get me wrong, love the guy, but youth and speed are overtaking him.
I think it would be a phenomenal story for Patriots fans if Teddy Bruschi is the weak link, because it means you filled the hole at outside linebacker. I think you know what you're going to get from Bruschi.
Yeah.
He's lost a step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's going to be in the range of 70 to 100 tackles, assuming he plays basically a season. And he is what he is. There's going to be times when you say, damn, he couldn't get there. That back got past him. He couldn't get there in coverage. But if the other guys on the outside are playing to the point where you're focusing on Bruschi, I think that's a very good sign for this defense.
And
because I also think Mayo will get there enough to even cover some of Bruschi's.
Right. And you said assuming he... you know, plays a full season, but also assuming he plays the reps needed. You know, he might be in a reserve role as the season goes on, and he might have enough, you know, opportunity to make some of those plays.
Okay. Ken in Florida says, it pains me to say it, but Andy's right. Adam Sandler is not only a talented comic actor, but a fine dramatic one as well, with films like Rain Over Me, Punch Drunk Love, and Spanglish as prime examples. And maybe Cancer of the Eyes was a bit much. I like Rosie as a person from what I've seen on Patriots.com, but on the field he lacked fire. That's pretty good way of saying it. I would, you know, he didn't have the passion.
Well, he had the passion for one thing, trying to get to the quarterback.
Making money.
Sacks.
Well, yeah, making money.
All he cared about was sacks.
But yeah. That was kind of tied into it. He wanted to be the showman.
Right.
What was his famous quote? You tackle a running back for a 35-yard loss, no one cares. You tackle a quarterback for a 1-yard loss, and they give you a sack, and everybody cheers.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
Paul writes in, Sup Tacoma, the pornographer, the Paul of Famer, Fred with an R-I-C-K, and Triple H, which is helium head heart.
You're the pornographer, Eric?
I guess
apparently.
So. Well, you do, you know, paint the or take the pictures
dabble.
Of the women.
You did dabble
with their
tops in college.
You can't get away from that. It's on the internet.
That's true. It's a fact.
You can't. Yeah, I know.
And I would just embrace it.
Yeah, that's fine.
It was a learning experience.
Now, did you go to confession after that?
No.
No?
I don't go to confession.
You don't go to
confession? Really don't?
No.
Well, I would have thought you would have been one of those once-a-week guy, at least a once-a-month guy.
No, I confess all the time, but not to a priest.
Who do you confess to?
Go direct.
Oh, you have a direct line.
Yeah. I skip the middleman in those situations.
Sure.
Does that count?
Yes, it counts.
Okay, I'm going to start doing that then.
Paul says, or Pat, I'm sorry. This is Pat. I would like to first and foremost send my dearest apologies to Mr. Perillo. Paul, I am sorry. I was on thepatriots.com, website for a football team located in the northeastern region of the United States, and checked out that 19-0 versus Brady poll, and you're right, fans are stupid. The 19-0 side is getting blown the F away. He tried to make me say
unbelievably.
It. I'm not going to do it. I am embarrassed as a Patriots fan and as a New England resident. To think all this time I failed to realize you as an adroit guru of dissecting the minds of the masses. Paul, you're a Hall of Famer, an expert analyst, and have every right to hate the fans. Again, Paul, I apologize. I'm on your side all the way. 19-0 and screw the fans. About the commish, I was thinking more of the 18-game schedule, and besides it increasing the risk of injuries, I think it might devalue the sport a bit. Meaningless games at the end of the season will multiply. That means player fatigue. Could all the wear and tear these athletes go through in a longer season lead to a more performance-enhancing drugs? It could ruin football. I tied this game on Tuesday, but screwed it up. Or I tried this game on Tuesday, but screwed it up. My bad. So I'll try it again with altercations on the rules. I think he meant
alterations. Although we could get into an altercation.
See, if you're going to do this. Anyway, if you could have a player combo not currently on the Patriots roster to replace who we have now, who would it be? These players have to come from the same team in today's NFL. Example, two running backs. LT and Sproles. Let's try it again. I hope Fred knows these acronyms. 2RB. These would be ribs.
Two running backs.
From another team. Combo. I don't know. This is too hard.
That's what she said.
Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw?
I guess so.
Is he still on the Giants?
I don't know. Who's the Vikings' other running back?
Yeah.
Chester Taylor, is he gone too?
Wide receiver.
How about Barber
Anquan
and,
Bolden
and
Larry
Fitzgerald? Sure.
Barber and what's his name out of Arkansas? Felix Jones. And they got the other guy that they actually have three.
Tashard Choice.
Outside linebacker?
Outside linebacker. How about.
Who's the other outside linebacker with Suggs?
How about Woodley and Harrison?
Woodley and Harrison.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
How about defensive end?
I'll take ours.
Well, we have that basically with Andy.
Cornerbacks?
Bissett. Two cornerbacks.
Champ Bailey and
you don't know
who's the guy from the Broncos?
Champ Bailey.
Other guy.
Sante Samuel and Ellis Hobbs. Oh, wait.
We used to have that.
No, I'll take.
He's not going to start.
I'll take Champ.
I don't want Ellis Hobbs back, by the way.
How about
Would you take Ellis Hobbs back if he came as a package deal with Asante Samuel?
Yeah, I guess.
QB and O-line.
Together?
Yeah.
Manning.
Manning and his O-line?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
I don't want to replace Brady. No. But that's the game. We have to do it.
And if there's ever a question that is change quarterback from Brady, the answer is Manning.
Right.
Whether he comes with owner, stadium, fans, car, wife, anything.
GM.
Offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator.
Offensive coordinator.
Offensive coordinator. I can't even think of one that I really like.
I guess maybe the Eagles.
Well, defensive coordinator, I was thinking
of
the Eagles.
Jimmy Johnson. He's not even the defensive coordinator right now.
I know, but I would go Jimmy Johnson.
That crazy old cuss is recovering.
Mean.
Cam Cameron
mean old
is a
cuss.
Pretty good offensive coordinator, the Peter principle.
He's done a nice
job. As long
job.
As he doesn't ever want a head coach again, I'm fine.
He's done a nice job with
and
all
North
the offenses.
And
Turner's
also another
of.
Good offensive coordinator. He has success as a coordinator,
yep.
and then
yep.
Peter again.
How about head coach and CEO?
Eric just perked up when I said Peter. What?
Head coach and CEO.
And CEO?
Lurie and Reed. Now, Reed's got a lot.
Yeah, probably Lurie and Reed. Yeah.
That's probably your best combination.
So, this is owner and coach.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah. Who's the second
because
you've got to
think. You got to think with the talent on this team.
I don't love Mike Tomlin as a coach.
Oh, God,
so,
no.
I mean, I think Rooney's pretty good.
Fisher.
I mean, Coughlin and the Giants, you know, the whatever. I don't really love Coughlin.
No.
Jeff Fisher and Bud Adams. I don't really love Bud Adams.
No.
So, I don't know. I think Lurie and Reed is probably as
I
good as any.
I think what this does is tell us how lucky we are.
How many times we declined
to have the
opportunity.
The Patriots. Yeah.
Yes, Fred. Why don't we just sit down and give thanks yet again
for
what we have.
Should. And also, Pat says, if you're looking for new openings or drop-ins, Toyota or Doc, try the Boondocks. It's hilarious. What is the Boondocks? Is it a movie?
It's a cartoon on Cartoon Network, I think.
Shaq's tie doesn't reach his belt. Not even
close. It's on 6-0.
What?
It's one of those, like, late-night cartoons.
I don't watch anything late night. I sleep.
Let's see. Mick from Ireland, just to let you know, Ireland isn't part of Great Britain. Like us Irish are a little sensitive to being called British or English, but like your work.
I thought it was
we didn't say Great Britain.
We didn't
said
say
the United
it was
Kingdom.
Part of Great Britain.
Okay.
And he's from Northern Ireland?
He's probably under the influence
He said he was
right
from
now.
Ireland, Mick from Ireland.
Oh, yeah. Probably. He's definitely under the influence of alcohol.
TG and Joyzy.
Chewing potatoes, too.
Being members of the media and whatnot. What are your opinions on Matt Millen getting this broadcasting gig, his broadcasting gig back? I, for one, hate the fact that after destroying the Lions, he can just walk back into the analyst booth like nothing happened. I'll never be able to take him seriously.
I can't take you seriously because I think that's a stupid opinion.
I don't. I think it's a very valid opinion.
Why?
Do you remember when he was an analyst before he was a GM?
Not really. I mean, I do remember, okay. But he wasn't.
Do you think he was any good?
He was okay. I mean,
well, I thought he was really good.
I thought he was good, and the general opinion was that he was very good.
Now, let's just you don't remember, so let's just take in a nutshell. Let's just say, for argument's sake, he was really good.
Okay.
Why shouldn't he be able to do that just because he failed at another element?
Because if I'm the network, I'm not saying he shouldn't be able to, but if I'm making the decisions for a network, I'm worrying
I
about...
I want the best analysts I can get if I'm making
I'm worrying about my viewership saying... Why are they hiring that jerk?
Yeah. Now, if
every coach who's available to do media failed, well, virtually everyone. There's a few that retire, but why would you want John Gruden failed? Why would you want John Gruden to do anything?
Because Mike Ditka destroy a franchise.
Mike Ditka absolutely destroyed the New Orleans Saints by going golfing after he traded the draft.
I don't like him.
And by the way,
I don't like him.
But no one cared that he took a job.
I care.
But
no, I care.
But you didn't care
you
because
do now wait because you're trying to argue with Andy.
You don't like
I care
because
he's not good.
Exactly. Right. You don't like Mike Ditka because he's not a good analyst. And I would agree with you. But you didn't say he shouldn't be an analyst because he destroyed the New Orleans.
This is the first time I can ever remember a guy who failed in the job as a coach, GM, whatever. All this backlash that he shouldn't be allowed to go to the media and do that.
I don't get that. Should he be put in jail because he failed as a GM?
Because it was year after year after
he was
year
bad.
That he did it bad.
He was terrible.
And he said, I will leave here and not and break my own contract before I, destroy this franchise. And he didn't live up to that. He kept doing it.
But he was a bad general manager.
He was terrible.
So why should that preclude him from doing anything else?
It shouldn't preclude him.
But that's what you want.
He has the right to earn a living. If I was a network owner, I'd be like, I'm going to piss off all this viewership by hiring this guy.
That's
a joke.
And that lasts about 10 seconds.
Yeah,
and then if he's a bad analyst, people say, this guy, he stunk as a GM and he stinks as an analyst. Or they say, he stunk as a GM, but you know what? He's not a bad analyst.
But it's the old thing of, better to be thought a fool than open one's mouth and remove all doubt. He proved that he doesn't know how to analyze football by becoming a GM.
I disagree.
And now we're supposed to take his word and
so
analysis?
He can't analyze the game but because he wasn't a good GM?
Anyone can analyze the game. And you don't know.
See, but you just said that Mike Ditka was terrible, so not anybody could do it.
He went into the ultimate analyst job and failed miserably.
You think a general manager is the ultimate analyst job?
Yeah, he couldn't even analyze his own team's needs.
So Pat Kerwin should hang it up.
As what?
An analyst.
I don't think he did that bad.
He was horrible.
As a GM for the
Jets. He was horrible.
You know?
What?
He wasn't as bad as Matt Millen.
But I don't understand why is the degree of ineptitude?
The degree does
why?
I see.
If you're a failure and you flame out, and you destroy a franchise,
not everybody
you shouldn't be able to
not
analyze.
Not everybody can be a consummate winner as a GM. But to do what Matt Millen does is historic. That was historically bad. No one's even come close.
I'm not arguing with you on
that. That is just God darn awful. And now you're making him an analyst analyzing the sport that he was so bad at being a GM.
I'm not arguing with you on the merits of Matt Millen as a GM. I'm saying he should be judged now on his merits as an analyst.
But you have to.
If you don't think he's very good at
it, he couldn't even be a GM.
You don't think he knows the sport. You don't think he knows the sport?
I don't. I think his opinion.
Or do you think he made bad draft picks? So in other words, you think Bobby Greer must not have known the sport because he made one bad draft pick after another?
Well, I think Matt Millen's judgment has to be taken into consideration based on his performance as a GM.
See, I disagree.
I see your point, Fred. I do.
Thank you, Eric.
I don't get it.
I think it's ridiculous.
I don't get the point at all.
I do.
I don't see how one has anything to do with the other.
Because in the back of your mind, you're thinking, who is this guy to tell me how good somebody is when he doesn't even know what he's doing?
It's like a guy who just absolutely failed in business, and now you're going to take his advice to buy stocks. It's ridiculous.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Wait, I'm not buying anything based on what Matt Millen said. He's there to entertain me.
You're buying his opinion.
Okay, well, let me...
saying that's ridiculous.
Right.
But he is an experienced general manager who knows the ins and outs of the business.
The only reason he's experienced is because he did it. That's the... But
he's right. Fred is right.
Experience does not equal intelligence.
But he did it.
Yeah.
He experienced it.
Okay.
But you're
and he had a bad experience.
And he had a bad experience.
But he can bring the experience of it to the viewer.
To me.
Because he did it.
No. You guys are making the leap that because he was a bad GM means that he was completely off his rocker and doesn't know talent, didn't know players.
By the way, he played.
Whatever.
I am saying that.
No, so in other words, you're telling me that the players that he picked were just untalented. They weren't really top 10 picks.
No. I'm not saying that.
So he didn't have. There wasn't. There was no misfortune in the fact that Charles Rogers couldn't keep his nose off his desk, snorting everything in sight.
I'm not saying that. But it goes back to Pioli. It's not always the best 53. It's the right 53, and he didn't know how to do that.
Okay, then get rid of 28 other general managers then, and treat them all the same as Matt Millen.
Nobody did what Matt Millen did as a general manager.
See, I would argue with you that you're wrong on that. I would argue with you that you're wrong on that. There are plenty of general managers that are just as inept. They just didn't go 0-16. They went 3-13 every year instead.
Well,
and by the way,
I don't see them being analysts either.
He played the game.
Pat Kerwin's one of them, Fred, and you love him.
So even if you think his general manager term in Detroit was the worst ever, he also played the game. So he's proven as a player and proven as an analyst in the past.
That's true.
That everybody liked him. But for some reason, because he failed as a GM, everybody wants his head on a platter.
Failed miserably.
I understand that he failed miserably, but you're making it sound like he couldn't judge talent.
And basically,
he was picking guys like the Oakland Raiders just picked that weren't even at the combine. They weren't scouted by anybody, and they picked him in the second round. He picked guys that everybody else thought were great too.
He could have picked,
and they all happened to flame out except for Roy Williams.
Right, and so you're saying that it's all misfortune.
No, I'm saying that he was bad. I mean, you judge him on his merits.
That's
he was
right.
bad.
That's right,
but. Because of that, I'm not going to make him go to jail and be shunned in exile.
Why should I keep him out of the NFL? You're saying
he can't analyze the game because he couldn't pick a player.
I'm saying that as a fan, I'm questioning everything that comes out of his mouth.
I say that's ridiculous.
I think Fred's got a point too.
Bruce Allen from Tampa Bay. Should we just shun him out of the league too? I mean, he's out. Now people want him to run the Players Association because he knows the league and the players.
Well, I mean, I don't know enough about that situation.
But
you don't know enough about the Matt Millen situation either, but you're commenting on it.
I do.
A lot of fans today don't remember Matt Millen as a player. What they remember him is what's been most recent,
right.
which is
right.
his failure in Detroit.
Answer me this one question. Do they lose one viewer on whatever pregame show he's on because he's on it?
Yes.
No.
That's a lie, and you know
no.
it.
Well,
anybody that watches the
you don't know it's a lie or not. We'll
anybody,
see.
You're telling me that people aren't going to tune into a pregame show that he's part of because he's on it.
What station is he going to be on?
I don't know.
He's going to be on ESPN and NFL Network, I believe.
Okay, well, we'll see.
The NFL must have thought so little
we'll
of him that they thought that he should be part of their network.
We'll see how the ESPN ratings do this year against the other pregame shows because people choose.
But see, I was as surprised as Fred when I heard that he was getting these jobs because I'm thinking, why would they want a guy who's just so closely removed from his failure?
Because he's a lightning rod. But you know,
so's John Gruden, so's Charlie. They're all closely removed from their failure because they want guys who were in the league immediately because they have connections, experience, and knowledge of the league.
I don't think John Gruden was as much of a failure in Tampa.
He wasn't as much as a failure because
not even close.
Well, the last 5 years he was.
Yeah,
but judging on the same time that with Matt Millen and
the same time with Matt Millen, he won a Super Bowl and he made
the
playoffs.
Wait, so this rule only pertains to GMs? Coaches who fail miserably jump right into the booth?
Yeah, he won a Super Bowl in 2002.
Right,
and he's not in the last 5 years.
He made the playoffs in the last 5 years.
Absolutely destroyed his franchise, and look what the situation they're in now.
Handled
that's
the
why
quarterback
he's out of
situation embarrassing.
Can't pick a quarterback. You want to talk about an embarrassment? He's had 27 quarterbacks on his roster. Evidently, he can't judge talent because none of them can play.
And yet, when Fred Kirsch heard him say Richard Seymour is the measuring stick for defensive ends in a 3-4, Fred Kirsch said, "Yeah, that right there tells you all you need to know about Richard Seymour."
John Gruden brought the Raiders to the Super Bowl, and then he won one with Tampa Bay.
I understand that, and then he failed,
burnt
the franchise to the ground to the point where they have $40 million in cap space.
So he had success and he had failure.
Right,
Matt Millen
but at least
only
he had, some
had failure as a GM
in Detroit
as a GM.
That's right.
But what about as a player? He was a great player.
That was a long time ago.
And as an analyst, most importantly.
It was a long time ago that Gruden had success as a coach,
So I'm the only one saying this?
No. You are absolutely the majority. You and Eric are in the vast majority, and Andy and I, as usual, are in the minority.
I understand. Okay.
No. What do you? What don't you understand?
Well, because most fans feel this way. They can't be right.
I'm not talking fans.
Who else is saying it?
Media.
Fans.
This is not a fans thing. This is a media thing.
Media thing.
The media,
was up in arms. You listen to EEI?
An embarrassment.
These guys, they all say,
aren't
what
the media. I'm talking about his peers.
Well, what
they
you,
would never say
wait a minute.
Bad
who are his
about.
Peers? Exactly. And they're not going to do that,
right,
Fred.
Of course.
But so we can
fans.
Only we can only no I'm not
Glenn
talking
Ordway's
about fans.
Glenn Ordway's a fan. He's not media.
Fred, listen. When I talk to people, when you go
hear
out,
that,
and you, and people ask me questions about the Patriots.
He's a fan. He's not a journalist.
But wait a minute. Stop.
Stop.
People don't ask you questions when you go out to these events or whatever. When Eric did his.
I don't,
with B-Lo.
I don't get invited to events like you.
Eric did his thing with B-Lo. Do you think they're asking him, geez, Eric, what do you think of Matt Millen
they're
coming back?
They're third graders.
They're asking about Patriots.
They weren't listening.
Would have been nice if they had
that's
asked
third
me that.
Graders.
We don't know what the fans think about Matt Millen, but I know what talking heads do. I know what guys like Jim Rome have said. I know what those guys have talked about. Glenn Ordway, Pete Shepard, Fred Smith. These guys, they talk. It's ridiculous that he's coming back. He failed as a GM. Why would you want to put him in that spot? That's the majority opinion.
Okay.
I'm not talking about fans.
All right.
I don't know what the fans' opinions are on Matt Millen.
I think the fans.
Fans want to know what I think about Tom Brady's
knee.
What
I've read on the boards.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
tweets.
That,
the boards
that
and the blogs.
People
the
tweeting
tweets.
About it.
Paul's very, very. He's in the Matt Millen fan club over here.
I think Matt Millen was a terrible GM.
Do you owe
but
him
I'm
money?
With Andy on this. What? I'm absolutely with Andy. I don't understand why that means he can't go back to doing what he was doing before he was a GM and he was pretty good at it.
He has a right to earn a living and do whatever he wants.
But he was
I'm just
good at
from
it.
From a perception point of view,
right.
I think he's
and all
be-
it takes is one show to prove. Wow, he stunk as a GM, but he's not a bad analyst.
And by the way, most people expected him to stink as a GM. When he was hired, people said, what made
analyst.
Him a qualified candidate,
right.
candidate
right.
to be a GM?
Have of the
so he did exactly of what you expected, and yet it's supposed to ruin his life, and he can never work again.
But he also said midterm, look, I'm not going to do this if I'm going to fail.
Okay,
you know?
Let
he was
me,
trying.
Let me give you
he
this.
Was doing what he thought was right. It was just wrong.
All right, how similar is this? We'll step back and let's make another analogy. Andy brought up Cam Cameron a while ago. Okay, Cam Cameron
hire him, Paul.
Was a very successful offensive coordinator, became a head coach, and was historically bad as a head coach.
True
one year, 1-15, with the one win being extremely lucky and fortunate. But yet, he got fired and immediately was rehired to do the job that he had had previous success doing, offensive coordinator. By your theory, he shouldn't have been allowed to do that, or not allowed, but... Baltimore was dumb for doing that because look at the stigma attached
to
that.
It's not the same type of analogy. It's not apples
to
apples.
Well, give me the differences then.
Oh, there's a lot of good coordinators that can't be good coaches, and they prove that. Romeo Crennel might be one.
But they're not. You claim there's not a lot of analysts that failed as GMs, and Andy and I rattled off three or four for you.
The difference between not being a good head coach and being a coordinator and ruining a franchise, which is what he did.
Well, first of all, he didn't ruin it. It sucked for decades.
Well,
he was part of such true, too.
With all those first-round draft picks and the chance to...
He hasn't fixed it.
Well,
he inherited a mess that he has done
and
nothing...
And made it worse.
He inherited a mess that he's done nothing to
fix.
They
could only go up, and somehow he managed to go down. It was unbelievable.
No, where they were, they couldn't only go up. They stayed right where they were. Terrible.
Right, they could only go up, and
he did nothing to fix it.
And
he
actually made it worse.
He was bad.
He actually made them
worse.
He
was absolutely... I don't think he made them worse. I think they're just as bad as they always were.
Well, they weren't a laughing stock. Now they're
a laughing stock.
They never went winless.
They've been a laughing stock for the better part of two decades.
Exactly.
When was the last time they have like one playoff win in how many years? 30 years?
When Barry Sanders was on the team,
they weren't a laughing stock with Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders has been gone, they've been a laughing stock.
Right. Yeah. And the one reason they weren't a laughing stock with Barry Sanders was Barry Sanders.
They went 9-7 and made the playoffs.
So one guy made an obvious pick, it worked out, and they weren't a laughing stock for a while. Other than that, they're a laughing stock.
Wayne Fonts
had
a good run.
I think Matt Millen was absolutely horrible. A horrible, horrible GM who absolutely destroyed the franchise. But again, I think there are plenty of guys who've destroyed their franchises. Al Davis, I guess, shouldn't be allowed to stay in Oakland. I mean, there's a laundry list.
If Al Davis was going to be made an analyst, it'd be a joke.
Well, it's a little bit different that the guy's 111 years old.
I'm just saying if he was 60, it'd be a joke because of what he did to his team.
Fred, do you watch Sunday Night Baseball or any baseball on ESPN?
No.
Okay, bye.
Unless the Red Sox are on it.
I was just going to go Steve Phillips, who was not a good GM and I think is a pretty good analyst on ESPN. He looks good on TV. He speaks well. He knows the business. He has examples.
How much Andy comments on how the guys look.
Yeah, I notice it all the time.
Steve Phillips, I don't even know who the heck he is. He doesn't come up, and I'll use one of Eric's words, he doesn't evoke the type of visceral reaction.
No one does, but
Matt Millen does.
Matt Millen's the only one who does for
the
some
guy
reason.
I've ever seen do this.
People hate him for no reason. They take personal shots at him for no reason.
Why is that?
Because people are dumb like you.
No, really. Think about it. Why?
I don't.
Why
worry, does he? Andy, that is the root of my anger.
Okay, but why?
He's being treated differently
why
than
do you
everyone
think,
else.
Why do you think? Why? What did you just
are
do?
You all right?
He just knocked.
Did you put?
He's going crazy. Andy's like waving his arms.
His
around.
His headset just came
it's
off.
It's like this big head with these little arms waving around.
This
but
is
that's
Wayne,
the
if that
point.
Was
but
me, he'd be
honestly,
how angry I guess.
He's being treated differently than everyone.
I know, but put your analyst head on. Try to look at it objectively.
I failed at teaching. I don't think I can be an analyst.
Why do you think that Matt Millen evokes that type of visceral reaction?
I think it's because from Patriots fans. I think it's because of 85 in the
playoffs.
Well,
I think that from around here, it is
around here. Really?
Around here, it is that.
Yeah.
I think Eric nailed it.
That has nothing to do with it.
Well, it has something to do with it for
not
me.
Not nationally, but around here, I think
absolutely.
What about nationally? Why do you think that people just think he's such a joke?
Because they thought it was a joke that he stayed there so long in Detroit.
And I think that was a joke that he got the job
hired in the first place.
Well, everyone thought it was just a joke. Before he even failed, they thought it was a joke.
But I don't think it would be this bad as if he got the job. Lasted for 2 years, and they said, you know what? This guy is
no
good.
Be. You're right.
But I think it's because he somehow kept hanging on, and they wouldn't fire him. And the whole thing you said about he must have pictures of William Clay Ford or whatever the son's name is.
By the way, Paul,
I didn't know we'd have such a good discussion on Matt Millen. That's good.
We owe Mick an apology. I looked over at the map, and Ireland is not part of the U.K. Northern Ireland is.
Oh, I
thought that's
it
what
was.
We said.
But...
No, we said Northern Ireland,
Ireland,
Wales,
yeah.
Scotland,
Ireland.
And Britain.
Yeah.
Well, you guys,
Ireland
that.
Is its own separate
listening.
Country.
Todd says, having Matt Millen commenting about football on TV is like hiring Drew Bledsoe as your QB coach. Maybe he can correct Kevin O'Connell's throwing short passes at the ground. I don't know what that – I'm not sure what that means.
See, I mean, I'm not the most unbiased guy to do this, but – what does Drew Bledsoe's ability to play quarterback have to do with his ability to coach?
Right.
Again, I think this is apples and oranges. Maybe he couldn't do some of the technical aspects of his job as a quarterback. Doesn't mean he didn't know how to do them.
Again, I'm not talking about the fact that he is or isn't a good TV analyst. I'm talking about the fact that you're bringing a guy into your studio who, perception-wise, might hurt your credibility with your viewership.
And I'm telling you that it takes one show of him proving that
wrong.
You
might be right. And
we'll get past that.
We'll see.
if the guy is good.
We'll see what the ratings are like.
I would rather have him than Mike Ditka.
You know what? I agree with that.
And Mike Ditka stays to this day.
I agree with that.
But people like Ditka.
I kind of like Ditka.
I don't. I like Ditka as a character, but not as an analyst. I think he adds nothing to the analysis.
How long did Sean Salisbury stay on those shows?
That's a good point.
I don't like him either.
He was terrible.
That's a very
good point. He stunk as a quarterback. He stunk as an analyst.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
I mean,
that might be why they kept him on, though, Paul.
He was a backup quarterback journeyman Jag who's famous because his brother.
And he's pretty
and
good.
Father.
But you know what?
He's very good.
He's pretty good.
Your Salisbury example.
He shouldn't talk about quarterbacks because he never could be good as a quarterback.
Your Salisbury example is probably what Fred said earlier about being a lightning rod. People hated Sean Salisbury because everything that came out of his mouth was ridiculous.
But my point is,
he's an idiot.
Football fans are going to watch those shows because they like football, not because of who's on them.
But you have a choice. And if there's one guy that you just absolutely can't stand
for whatever reason, you'll watch something else.
I disagree.
Look at the Patriots fans.
You're going to watch the one you want
to
watch.
There are Patriots fans that to this day do not watch ESPN. They hate ESPN.
But that's a little different. That's not
whatever your reason is, that's a hate of a network because of the coverage and the treatment. Whatever that
it's certainly not because of any individual person. It's because they feel ESPN in general has been unfair to the Patriots.
Yeah, they don't like Schlereth and all those guys.
But they feel like ESPN in general has been unfair to the Patriots.
Yeah.
Now, if it was just the one Tom Jackson they hate their coach, you think they would stop watching ESPN?
I think so. Patriots fans? Are you kidding me?
Well, then they can't watch anything because you can't watch NFL Network because Marshall
Especially,
Falk.
By the way, Patriots fans who find that one thing with everybody.
Well, you know, we'll hear from the emailers, but it'll be interesting to see if Tom Jackson, when he said that and when it came out that, you know, he really didn't have any inside source, that was just him saying it. If anybody made the decision at that point, I'm not watching the pregame with Tom Jackson because of that, I'm going to watch CBS or NBC.
I didn't hold that against him, whoever it was.
So then they can't watch CBS because Dan Marino hates the Patriots and picks against them every week. They can't watch NFL Network because Marshall Faulk hates the Patriots and makes fun of them every week.
Well, now
you're just a shut-in and you can't watch anything if you're going to do it like that. That's my point. You're going to watch the one you want to watch. More often than not, most fans I talk to like ESPN and they watch those shows.
When you have a choice, it usually comes down to those silly reasons because they're all pretty much the same, you know. So you make these emotional choices, you know. I don't like that guy for this reason, so I'm going to watch.
Oh, and listen, no one does that more than I do. I hate for no reason. There's a lot of guys out there that I don't like, and you know, you see me, Sal Palantonio walking through a stupid press box.
Well, he's an idiot.
Yelling at a guy for whistling.
We have reason.
I mean, you know, and then Eric slapping him around. One of the best. Your single best moment ever as a PFW person.
I was going to say one of. List the others.
No, I stopped. Your single best moment. He slapped Sal Palantonio around. We don't like him. Why? Never really did anything to us. We don't like him.
Because he rhymes with rock.
So I don't blame Patriots fans for that at all.
Ross says, and we corrected ourselves, but just to reinforce it, Ross says the Republic of Ireland is a different country to Northern Ireland, which is part of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. He washes his hands of it like he wasn't listening. Scotland and Wales, they're all part of the European Union.
I know a lot about Ireland. Potatoes, grass, beer.
And Stripper says, fun fact, I went to high school with Adam Sandler. I was a freshman, and he was a senior at Manchester Central High School. I remember he got class clown, and his band played in assembly, and I vividly recall him playing guitar and singing U2's New Year's Day.
That's a good story. That's a good story.
You also forget that he has those entertaining songs.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
So, I mean, now
the Hanukkah song.
He produces movies, makes comedies and regular movies, whatever. All right.
You've convinced me.
I like
you've
Adam
convinced
Sandler.
Me. I don't think he's quite the dramatic actor that some have portrayed him as.
I mean, what is Shaq doing? That's why he's my favorite. I think it was a picture of him with Danny Ferry bent over in front of him, and he's holding it up as his introductory press conference in Cleveland. He's the best.
Paul's leaving.
Where are you going, Paul?
You gotta go to the bathroom?
Oh. Fred, have you...
He did this last show, too.
It's not a going problem, it's a growing problem.
Your schedule's all screwed up.
He's got a prostate issue.
We have to get him some Flomax.
You know, guys over his age, they got to get it checked yearly.
I know, that's true.
The old finger. But have you been following Shaq?
He does it monthly, though, because he likes it.
Eric does it nightly.
Oh, see now? I was trying to leave Eric out of it.
You should follow Shaq on your tweets. He's the most entertaining. You have a stupid sense of humor like me. Yesterday, he tweeted about five Your Mama jokes, just because he wanted to. They were very funny, too. I haven't heard them. What was the
the God
ghost
one?
Tweeter.
Yo mom is so fat. God could lift your spirits.
Oh, that's good.
And then one was, yo mom is so nasty, she keeps ice between her legs to make sure the crab stays fresh.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
And this is a man who is a multi-hundred-million-dollar industry in and of himself.
Yeah, but he's also the guy that says, Kobe, how my ass tastes.
Yeah, which became a common phrase. I mean, that's how powerful he is, though. He created a phrase in this country from nothing.
Brad from St. John's, New Brunswick, the Dominion of Canada, says, I'm from Canada, but I'm officially from the Dominion of Canada, so named by the British Empire in 1867. P.S. The Brits thought that Dominion would sound less threatening to the U.S. than the Kingdom of Canada.
So. Dominion sounds pretty intimidating, too. When you have dominion over someone or something.
That's the word dominate.
Exactly.
Dominate. You're about to be dominated by us, bitches.
Let's see. TG says, being members of the... Oh, we talked about this, right?
So don't read it.
Oh, this is what happened. But he says, what are your opinions on Matt Mellon getting his broadcasting back? I, for one, hate the fact that after destroying the Lions, he could just walk back into the booth like nothing happened. I'll never be able to take him seriously. Which play callers and color guys do you guys like and dislike, or do you get yourself in trouble addressing this question?
Color guys?
We certainly don't get ourselves in trouble. But.
No.
I've always thought Tom Jackson was a good analyst. His comment about the Patriots and the coach hating them notwithstanding.
You're going to lose your membership.
What membership?
He's Patriots not that. Nation.
I think Tom Jackson's
like
excellent.
I like him a lot.
Jaworski's obviously Jaworski's great. He puts in the time.
Yep. Jaworski's very good.
I like
good.
Collinsworth.
I can't stand him.
I like Collinsworth. I don't like the person because he's so smug and arrogant.
No.
Yeah, I can't believe he's just
he is
twin.
You.
No.
Taller, more successful, everything, but, you know, you.
I like both Phil Sims and Troy Aikman. I don't think they're great. Right. But I think they're good.
They're okay.
They're not like Jaworski,
right.
But they're more entertaining than Jaworski. So there's kind of a...
Yeah.
Jaworski's very dry. He knows the X's and O's as well as anybody, but...
Yeah. I can do without Joe
very
Buck.
Dry.
Not a lot of oomph.
Oh, Joe Buck I can do without suck him. Anymore. Hate him.
Yeah, I don't like a lot of play-by-play guys.
Give him
guys.
His own damn show.
Yeah. I think Joe Buck and Jim Nantz are very similar to me. I think they're very...
you know who entertains
me? For guys that say it's first and 10, they're very arrogant.
As a play-by-play guy, nobody entertains me more than Gus Johnson. Because he gets excited about the most mundane
He is
things.
The worst, though.
That's
I mean,
what
I, know,
me
I know what you're
it's
talking
unintentional.
About. He is one of the worst.
TG says it'd be cool to have a game called by the PFW crew. Fred, you could do the
I don't
play.
Think you'd like that.
Just once.
Fred could do the play calling. Paul and Andy would handle the color commentary. And Squidward could be down in the field holding the ball for Guskowski's practice kicks on the sideline.
You'd be a good sideline reporter, though. Because you don't have to, you know, no. You just
Here's
chime in every
happen.
Once in a while.
Here's what would happen. We'd go
just
to
like
Eric.
The show.
No, we would, you know, throw it down to Eric, and he'd be too long, and then we'd have to cut him off, and then he'd get mad, and he wouldn't talk for the rest of the game.
He would.
Brady limped off. Eric, what do you have?
That would be
what? Crickets.
That would just be a, no. Crickets. No, it would just be a shot of me looking towards the field with the camera from the side.
You have your back to the game.
With your feet up on the side.
And then you two would get into a fight midway, and I'd be like, and it's first and shut up! I'm just trying to tell people that it's first and 10.
Oh. Wait, you were in a fight with him, too. What are you like,
you know,
for?
You know in the middle of the game we'd get into a fight. we missed the game-winning touchdown.
Well, that's what I'm... I'd be trying to... About guys, like the 3 seconds left, and they're on the 30, and they're trying to Hail Mary. Shut up! We're arguing here!
It'd be like, you know, I really thought that was a first down. How could you say that was a first down? It wasn't even close to the stick.
And Fred would go right, and Paul would go right, and everybody goes, huh?
We should practice that. Maybe for one of the preseason games. We don't really have to cover the preseason games.
Speaking of that, Fred, is this a good time?
He has to miss a preseason game.
The last
game.
Preseason game I need to miss.
What?
I just found out. Well, sort of.
About what?
He's got
a wedding.
A wedding?
Yeah.
Is it yours?
No.
Then you can't miss it.
That rule is getting stricter and stricter every year with Fred.
So it was your concert you went to and you skipped that issue a couple years ago?
In 15 years, I'm allowed to miss one game. And it's a preseason.
You didn't even miss a game.
You've never missed a game in my
tenure. He's defending something he doesn't even know right now.
You've never missed a game since I've been here.
I did miss one, but it was because of logistical reasons. I didn't go to the Raiders game. I slept on a sleeping bag in my office.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Why did you have to do that?
Because they needed to
get
the
night game on the West Coast.
The stuff back to me.
We stayed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they stayed.
Andy and I stayed. Brian and Fred were here.
I sacrificed and, you know.
That was a...
I didn't go to the Mexico exhibition game, too. I wasn't feeling well for that game.
The Mexico exhibition. No,
keep that in mind.
Yeah. When did
that was
Buffalo in December? Fred, not feeling well.
No, it was when did we
this
play
team
the
played ex- in Mexico?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Preseason 98, 97.
Yeah. Really, I don't remember that at all.
What do you mean you weren't feeling well? You didn't really want to go.
No. It's good.
Good
to
know
king.
That's
good
okay.
to
be the boss.
Yeah. Emailer says it would be like this about Mellon. It'd be like if Paul Perilla was plagiarizing, swearing, and making things up in the paper, and the fans were canceling subscriptions and complaining about him to the crafts, but they keep him for 7 years. Finally, they fire him. Then he signs a $1 million contract at EEI. I wouldn't listen to him no matter how good he was on the radio. I thought that crack of Drew would just get Paul going. Oh, that was Todd who wrote this. Yeah, I think people have an emotional.
Yeah, but
they just don't like what he did there and how he handled himself.
But I'm going to operate.
They feel, especially in these times where people.
In these times, now the economy has something
well,
to do
with it. People can't get a job who deserve a job, and now he just walks.
He deserves a job. He was a good analyst. He's taken jobs away
I know,
from people.
But
you see how we've taken it to the ridiculous lengths, though. Now he's taking jobs away from people?
And your whole thing about people, I can understand if it was all Detroit Lion fans who were so upset. But
hey,
it's every
says sunny on
fan.
Saturday.
We feel for the
right.
Detroit Lions.
Well, you
fan.
Should. You used to be.
Zach says, I hate ESPN, but I love NFL Network, mostly because Rich Eisen is hilarious and Dion is right a lot. I hate Jamie Dukes more than Marshall.
I hate both
NFL them, yeah. Network lost their best analyst when John Gruden went to Monday Night Football.
I don't know how he's allowed to analyze, though he failed as a coach.
Brian in Baltimore says,
and why is he available?
Not to the point that Millen failed.
He had his share of success
failed.
And failure.
He failed.
But he had success, right. Whereas
Millen ultimately
had none.
He took over someone else's team, won with it, and then completely destroyed it from there on in.
Brian in Baltimore says, how about Jesse Palmer? It's safe to say he was a mediocre college quarterback and pretty terrible as an NFL quarterback, but I think he's a great college analyst. Okay.
True. That's true. I
there's
mean,
a lot of those.
Kirk Herbstreit is
think,
a great analyst.
I think there's a million
examples
of guys who were mediocre to not very good at their profession.
Jesse
and
Palmer was comparable
sports,
to
but
Matt Millen.
Ended up being great coaches.
Jesse Palmer was comparable to Matt Millen as a pro quarterback.
Yeah,
he was that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, you don't to be a coach doesn't mean you had to be a great player. Ted Williams was not a good coach.
Especially.
He was a great player.
Bill Belichick.
That's
was
especially
not a great
Bill Belichick
player.
never played in the NFL.
And being a great player usually doesn't translate
exactly.
into being
right.
a great
but,
coach.
So that's why it's not an apt. This is an emotional response. This has nothing to do with Matt Millen's capability as an analyst.
I know, and my point that I would say in Todd's example of me being a plagiarist for the paper all those years and then going to EEI, I agree that you probably would be very skeptical of what I would have to say. However, if EEI is the strong station that it is now, and we're using this as the example, most people listen to EEI. Well, I'm sure a lot of people didn't like Jerry Callahan before he ever went to EEI. They still listen, and I think it would take people would still listen, and then they would decide, I still listen to EEI, but boy, I can't believe they hired that Perillo. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He stinks. Or they would say, I listen to EEI, and even though that Perillo was a plagiarist, he's not bad on the radio. That's what people will do. They'll watch ESPN and they'll decide if the guy is good or not. I think that Matt Millen will probably be a decent analyst because he was pretty good at it before.
I think a lot of people won't be able to hear through the noise in their head of
initially
he is.
You're right, but that I don't think that will last very long.
Well, if they have the patience that Ford had, then he'll be there for a long time, and you know, but TV isn't always as patient as. You know, some of these old owners.
Right? No, you're right.
I don't even know what he's saying.
Not so hot. Amy babbling. Says, I wanted to ask you, can you stop saying the UK is made up with Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and
nice
Britain?
Nice job, numbnuts.
Britain is just still, another name. We're from the UK, not another word for England. Did any of you graduate? It's not so hot, Amy.
Come on, Amy. We apologize for our mistake.
Come on, Amy.
Oh, jeez. Unbelievable.
You said it now.
But you said it first.
I still am amused how he's washing his hands
of
this
I know.
Whole thing.
I wasn't listening when you guys aired.
That's like me saying I wasn't listening during the Matt Millen discussion.
Hamza in Toronto says, longtime Patriots fan in Canada, I've been listening to you since the summer of 2007.
Hamza?
When my two favorite players in the league, Brady and Moss, got together. Love your show. It's the best part of Tuesday and Thursday. Keeping with all the June-July hypothetical games, here's one for you.
One of your callers recently asked you to pick your favorite players at certain positions, but made you choose only one of two players. So if you had to actually construct an all-time NFL offense and defense instead, who would you choose? My choices would be a quarterback Tom Brady, wide receivers Randy Moss, Jerry Rice, Chris Carter, running back Barry Sanders, tight end Tony Gonzalez, never mind the offensive line, defensive end Reggie White and Michael Strahan, tackle Mean Joe Green and Warren Sapp, linebackers Lawrence Taylor, Ray Lewis, Dick Butkus, and Jason Taylor, cornerbacks Deion Sanders and Rod Woodson, and safety Ed Reed and Ronnie Lott, and kicker Adam Vinatieri. That's a pretty good
team. I like
team.
That team.
That's a good team.
It's a good team. Running back Barry Sanders, he was great. I don't know, though, would you want him, you know, if you had your choice of any running, I might take Jim Brown.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously going to be guys you could say I'd take instead
of. I would certainly consider Barry Sanders strongly doing it on a bad team the way he did.
Who was the quarterback?
The thing about Barry Sanders, though, he'd have like 3 yard, you know, carries for loss, and then he'd break one for 50 yards.
Well, who was the quarterback? I forgot.
He would be. It would be weird to see him fit in with an offense like that. If he were legitimately playing with Brady and Moss and kind of cut into his attempts,
right?
And if he had too many of the losses and not enough of the bigs, and how it would all kind of play out as a complementary piece of the offense. Whereas a guy like Emmitt Smith or whatever, I think would fit in seamlessly because
Jim Brown averaged,
he would just get his
6 yards a carry for 10 years.
I don't know.
I mean,
I saw him last night on HBO Real Sports.
Did
you know
really?
He's driving across the country in a car alone with Bill Russell?
Wow.
Calling it the Greatness Mobile.
Yeah, there's a lot of. Real. I mean, Elway would be my quarterback.
They really are doing it.
They are?
Yeah, because Russell's wife died, and he used to do it with her. And they're very good friends. Mm-hmm. And he called him and said, I still want to do this. Would you do it with me? And he's going to do it with him. Wow. And actually, they didn't explain it fully. It was one of those things where the package ended, and they clearly found out this information later and kind of talked about it for a second. And they said, Brown, feeling uncertain about his friend's state of mind or something, agreed to take part. It was almost like he felt Russell was not stable because of the loss.
He didn't want to say no and then have
right. So it was weird wording the way they did it, but apparently they're doing it.
Wow.
Who would they're just driving, you know, you pull up to a stoplight and you look right and it's Jim Brown and Bill Russell.
Who would your wide receivers be?
Jerry Rice.
Yep.
Tough one.
Steve Largent.
You know, Raymond Berry was pretty good.
I think I would go John Stallworth.
Moss would be
John
in my
Stallworth
conversation.
Great.
I mean, Moss.
Yeah, Moss is
pretty damn good now.
Yeah.
Moss is excellent.
Mm-hmm. Fred Biletnikoff?
No.
No?
I mean, great.
He's on your list, though.
He's great.
I'll set you up, Paul. Steve Largent?
No.
Biletnikoff
over Largent, though.
Alejandro from Bogota.
Berry over Largent?
Cliff Branch, maybe. I love John
Bob
Stallworth.
Hayes.
Really love John Stallworth. Hated Lynn Swann, though.
Alejandro from Bogota. Fred, Paul, Andy, Eric. Love last Tuesday's show. Fred was at his best when he related a failed Michael Jackson concert with the Patriots winning 3 Super Bowls. Classic.
That's true.
I know Andy is big on Deadpools, so I want to ask him if he had Jackson on his. No. Or is he sticking to Al Davis and Ralph Wilson?
Al Davis and Ralph Wilson I'll stick with. I've added a guy, not necessarily immediately, but a long-term project of a draft pick in this Deadpool, Terry Francona.
What?
Terry Francona will be dead in the next decade.
World. Really?
Yes.
Especially if he keeps managing.
He's got all these he's had surgeries.
Yeah.
He's spits up blood occasionally or has like heart things, has to miss a game and they go to the hospital. And the other day he was talking about his breakfast. All he'd had all day was a couple slices of bacon and a Full Throttle. There's no way this guy's making it.
Was that one of those drinks?
Yes. Oh. He had bacon and a high sugar, high whatever energy drink.
Yikes.
Dead soon.
On to football.
We should do an under 50.
Is he under 50?
I don't know.
Paul Perillo.
Oh.
that's not
Chris Ferreira.
But that's not even funny.
I know, but it's, you know, kind of true. You're a little worried. You're on your diet.
Not yet,
well,
I'm not.
Not yet. After that sandwich, you're on your diet?
Let's see.
Fred Kirsch.
I want to ask you, what is your favorite Michael Jackson song? Mine is Dirty Diana.
Not a bad song.
Mine would be one of the Jackson 5 songs, probably.
I really like those songs a lot, but I don't really think they're Michael Jackson songs.
Yeah. I consider them Michael Jackson songs.
Billie Jean?
Billie Jean would be.
It's like the end all of everything. I consider them whatever the hell I want to consider them.
He sang them. You know, they wouldn't be as good if he wasn't singing them.
I want
to
rock
job,
with
Tacoma.
You.
You have reported how the Patriots are planning to improve their lackluster third down defense, but the Patriots did also struggle in the red zone. So my questions are, one, what were the weaknesses of the Patriots' red zone defense? Was it the coverage or was it the goal line? And two, how does a team improve in that department? Is it the draft or is it the coaching?
That damn goal line never produced for them.
I think there is a lot of coaching. I remember that one year they were just god awful in the red zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last year.
Well, no, the year before. And then they got better. They made some adjustments. They got better in the second half. Coaching can't help, but I think when you have last year, they just really didn't have the speed to cover. I think that was the main thing.
And they didn't have enough pressure. And when you don't cover and don't get any pressure, you're going to give up plays in the red zone.
Now
they say everything's more compact and the coverage is tighter. It wasn't for them.
Yeah, and I think that the fact that you could throw any completion on them at any time, and that was indicative of their third down defense, I think that made it really tough. Bill always says it all starts with the run defense. I don't think their run defense was bad, and I don't think it was bad in the red zone. But I think you could throw the ball on them anytime, anywhere, and I think that's the reason why.
Let's see. Wait a minute. Andy says, Alex. Hello, boys and girls. An emailer gave you the chance to mix two sets of skills into one single player. Andy chose Tom Brady and Michael Vick in order to have the ultimate player, an indicted quarterback who runs a 5.8 40. Did you get the joke?
I see what you did.
Speaking of unathletic quarterbacks prone to throw interceptions, what's the latest on Drew Bledsoe?
Oh, Paul. No, we're not going to take that.
Well, he's doing all those business ventures. He's got, what, coffee and a vineyard and a...
Yeah.
He sounds like he's going to be very
too?
Successful.
Yeah.
Scott and Brockton, who we have to blame for all of this debate stuff.
We used to credit him. Now we're blaming him.
He says, I hate beating a dead horse, but what else are we going to do? Talk about Poison Ivy in Provincetown. In the 19-0 discussion, one point of contention seemed to be remembering a great team versus being a great team. I'm wondering where the tipping point is. If you could trade in any of the rings from this decade to extend Brady's career for 5 more years, would you do it?
If you give me the 19-0, sure.
No. That's not what he's asking.
Then no.
Of the 3 that they've already won,
no, I don't
would
wanna...
you give up one to have 5 more years of Brady?
Hell no.
I'd say no, too.
No.
So then why are you – then I don't understand people who would rather have 10 years instead of 19-0.
I don't either, Fred.
Would you trade?
I don't really.
They're imbeciles if they think.
Wait,
that.
No.
Yeah, 72% of the population stupid.
No, but wait a minute. What Fred's
proven my point.
Fred's point
is.
Yeah,
you're a pompous ass.
So you would.
I'm accurate though.
Your choices are 3 titles and 5 more years of Brady, or no more Brady, or 2 titles and 5 more years of Brady, and you would say no. You'd rather have the 3 titles. That's what you said, right?
Wait a minute. So it's he retires immediately.
I have
to give back a ring to Brady.
I'll read it again.
Yeah.
Says,
I have to give back a ring.
You have to trade in a ring.
Yeah, because that would be.
I kind of thought
would be a little inconsistent for you for the 5 years.
But
the difference of the 5 years was the only thing that you would.
Yeah, if you're telling me the only way Tom Brady takes the center under center this September is I give back a ring, then I give you a ring.
Yeah. See, I mean, this is the same as the 19-0 thing to me. I'll take the bird in the hand. I mean, I suppose there's a possibility that you could win 2 more with 5 more years of Brady, and I would admit to Andy's point, you have a better chance of winning with 5 more years of Brady than you do without him. I mean, I don't really see how you can argue that, but I'll take the sure thing every
time. And Scott says, would you change your answer if it was Belichick instead of Brady? No.
No, I'd rather have the title.
I'll take the titles any day.
Yeah. As Bill would say, it is what it is. It's not what it will be.
Right. Or could be.
That's right. Let's see. Adam says, Bruschi was talking about coaching. Do you think that the Pats will keep him on as a coach? Do the Pats ever do something like that? I would love it. He's one of the most inspirational celebs in my life, right behind Spielberg and Belichick.
Who is this?
Bruschi. I don't think that the as with Bill Belichick as the head coach, they would not take him on as a coach. He'd have to prove himself.
I think I disagree with you there, Fred.
Okay.
Well, I don't think they will.
Pepper Johnson's an example, I think.
No, he started out as one of those student coaches.
And so would Bruschi.
That's what Bruschi would
but
do.
But here.
Here.
That's what Pepper started. He was in the minority fellowship
They would
program.
Take him and work his way
Carthon.
Up.
And
I think, and Otis Smith was here for a year,
Otis Smith was here last year, I think, for...
But
I'm not sure it would have to be as one of those.
Yeah, it'd be a low level.
They're not going to make him the coordinator. You know.
Yeah, right. No. I mean, they wouldn't just name him linebackers coach.
He'd be a coaching assistant.
Yeah, I don't think
probably.
He wants to do it.
I could see him coaching because I think that you know, I remember back when I did the story with Vrabel being a coach that he talked about Brewski and how they had talked about it. I agree with Andy though. I don't see him as a coach at the NFL level. It's too much time.
Right.
And I think he understands what goes into that and knows. And I think he's a family guy. I think he enjoys his time with his three sons and his wife. And
right.
That's you can do it for a lot less time at other. You know, I could see him being a high school coach.
Right.
Yeah.
Or college even.
For decades. I could definitely see him doing it.
Yeah. You can get the best of both worlds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can get the game, the coaching, and you can still be with your kids and have a family and have a life.
And maybe coach them.
Right. Whereas here, if you go into NFL coaching, you kind of given up on your family for a while.
Yeah. There's a new book. This is still Adam coming out in July. Called The Story of the New England Patriots. Do you know anything about this book? The cover has a picture of Brady about to get sacked in Super Bowl 42. Not the most promising cover. I haven't heard of it. Have you?
I haven't heard of it.
Are you usually on the in the
Is it like a coffee table book?
I don't know.
I think I might know of it. I think it might be a Christopher Price book.
And then Adam says, I finally got a chance to talk with guys at the end of Tuesday's show, which was nice, but I forgot to answer the question on what I would want 19-0 or Brady. I think I would take Brady. I love this game. I love watching Brady play. I like the anticipation from week to week of how great he could be. If they went 19-0 in the next couple of years, you could look back at 07 as a positive. I want both. It's not the question. All right. See, people.
If that's my alternative, I want both.
So
too.
Do I. Yeah.
I thought I had a pick between one or the
so
other.
Angry.
Well, because that's why we're losing. Is because people are looking at it that way.
They're losing because reason wins out in the end. Always.
They're just not being fair.
But you're looking at it as both. I'm going to take both over one, and I think that's not the option.
Could be.
I mean, you could make an argument that they've been the best team in football the last 4 years. They have no Super Bowls to show for it. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Sure.
People think it's both over not over one. I don't think that people are real. Not saying you, Andy. I'm saying I think a lot of people are looking at it like that.
Losers often rationalize, Paul. In polls, like in life, Paul, losers rationalize.
Well, Susan.
We asked earlier if readers or listeners could send us pictures of them listening to us in different places.
In the nude,
Christian Cirka from Vienna, Austria.
Is that the Austria?
A picture of him listening to the podcast in front of the Vienna Town Hall.
Nice.
Where opera festivals take place every summer.
Eric would like that.
Eric?
You like the opera, right?
You've been to
I don't
Vienna?
Mind the opera.
That was his first example of you going to the sideline for Eric. Dead silence.
Have you been to Vienna?
I've never been to Vienna.
No,
you've never been to the opera?
I don't know, maybe someday.
Have you ever been to the opera?
Yeah.
I've never been to
What's
the opera.
What's the opera? No.
What's the opera?
I mean, what would it... No.
But what are you...
I mean, I've been to musicals, but not
I've been
opera.
To musicals. The, what's it called? The Christmas one. That's not an opera, right?
What Christmas
the Nutcracker?
One. Yeah.
That's an operetta.
Oh, then I've been to the opera. Fell asleep, but...
Isn't that a ballet?
That's a ballet. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Wrong again when I go to him for some elitist cultural
knowledge.
Well,
it's because you didn't give him the proper time.
Oh, stop it.
What? That's what you got mad at me about last time.
But it's not in English,
just
right?
Want you
it's
to
in
be
Italian?
Consistent.
I don't think they talk in it.
No,
there's
opera.
No talking.
No, some operas are in French or...
No, there's rock operas.
Well,
Andrew
really
Lloyd Webber.
I love Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah.
Is that a rock
that's
opera
a rock
or
opera.
A musical?
I thought that was just
they call
musical.
It a rock
that's
opera, but it's a musical.
If that counts as opera, then I like it.
It's a musical.
It is a musical, Fred.
Because
I don't like
no
opera.
Dialogue.
In Jesus Christ Superstar?
Yeah. It's all singing.
Well, sort of. That's like me saying,
yeah, there's
I'm always singing on the show, but I don't say much at all.
Like
that would be very accurate.
Well, that's what musicals are these days. It's just people talking
right.
lyrically.
I agree with Eric. That's not an opera.
That's
because I like that, and I don't like opera.
You're thinking like classical.
It's in. I think Italian. A big fat guy
right.
or woman singing Italian.
The Barber of Seville.
The Barber of Deville.
The Toyota of Tacoma.
What the hell's the Barber of Seville?
Tobias.
La Boheme. That's French.
La Boheme.
That's an opera.
But isn't that
Les Misérables?
Well, I saw
Les Miserables is a musical.
That's a musical. I saw that.
We are so uncultured.
Isn't La Boheme like Rent? Isn't that the opera version of Rent?
I've
Bohemians is La Boheme, right?
I've never seen it.
Once again, we go to Eric for elitist knowledge, and he fails us.
I've never seen that one.
I saw Rent, but I didn't. I never saw La Boheme.
You saw Rent?
Yeah.
Oh.
I've seen a lot of musicals, Fred.
Really?
Yeah.
Why have kind
The Marriage of Figaro?
I don't know.
That's the more big Italian
the Lion
kind
King.
Of one you're thinking.
Lion
you
King's
thinking.
Good.
Lion King was really... Actually, I saw that...
I saw that with Andy.
The two of you went to a musical?
And our wives.
This was not an Eric trip to P-Town for surfing lessons.
They have to insert with their wives.
And
like,
you know
it, like it would be a crime against humanity if the two of them went somewhere
I
just
think
it by
would
themselves.
Be
queer as a $3 bill, as my grandmother would say.
First of all, yes, that would be quite gay. Number
but
one.
You're so...
Number two...
You guys are so...
I said I saw it with Andy.
It was a joke.
And then we...
Such
had
Neanderthals. I mean, you guys
yes.
can't you can't
guilty.
Do anything in
right.
your lives together.
You're right. I'm masculine.
You're right.
Guilty as charged.
You're right. I am a Neanderthal.
No, you're just the opposite of masculine. You're afraid. You have questions about your masculinity.
I'm not afraid of anything.
Yes, because a real man can do whatever he wants at any time.
It's called rationalizing.
No, it's not rationalizing. It's a fact.
Put your muscles away.
He's
first of all.
Mad. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of
Why
PFW
Why do we always
Progress.
Leave off on a note like
I
that?
I want to congratulate Toyota Tacoma on a job well done.
Yeah, well.
I think we could be seeing
the adequate.
Start.
I'm going to go adequately
adequate.
Done.
Someday,
best.
People will say, I remember the first show that he produced.
No, All they right. won't.
Now, your second show is going to be a solo effort by me next Tuesday.
No.
Oh,
July week.
Somehow.
There's no one listening.
All right, we will see you next Tuesday, but I won't. I'm on vacation.
I won't either.
Me. I'm a lonesome kicker. Extra points, field goals at your service.
One passion, one cup, one chance to see it. The 2009 CONCACAF Gold Cup. Watch three top-class matches for the price of one. Saturday, July 11th, 4 p.m. at Gillette Stadium. Revolution versus Kansas City Wizards. United States versus Haiti. And Honduras versus Grenada. Call 1-877-GET-REVS or go to goldcup.org. That's 1-877-GET-REVS or goldcup.org. The 2009 CONCACAF Gold Cup. Don't miss it.